so forgot, forgot, forgot. When they stole my gold medal and soul career, let's look back at my whole career, cause y'all must have forgot, forgot, forgot. The best pound for pound is mine. Hit Gracie Harris with four hooks at one time. Y'all must have forgot, forgot.
Salutations out there. This is the Firestarter Crew coming back at you with a brand new podcast. I'm TKO. Got my main man K Bad.
What's up, y'all?
And man, Boss Saw. What's up, Ba?
Hey, nothing. How y'all doing?
All right, making it. Somebody tap tapping. That you, Kenny?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, while you tap tapping, you can tell us how your week been, bro.
Yeah. Nothing out of the ordinary.
No, that, yeah. It's political season, huh?
Yep.
And are y'all getting like bombarded like more than usual with these damn
text,
damn flyers?
Oh,
hey, knock on wood, I'm not getting texts, dog.
Yeah, it's the texts. You know, I ain't getting nothing else. It's these texts. I'm sick of it.
You can't take it, man.
Man, they be switching up numbers, y'all.
Oh, for real? Yeah, don't tell me they're doing this shit that these fucking advertising companies be doing, where they call you from a number that looks similar to your number, y'all, but it be like one or two numbers off.
Yeah, they do all that. Just, hey, it's been a lot, man. It's been a lot. And I could be getting robocalls too, but I ignore anything that comes up like pretty much a number that I don't recognize. Like, yeah, if it ain't in my phone, like, you know, you gotta leave a message. But I get a lot of joints that just say potential spam, you know? So that could be robocalls too, but I don't pick them up.
Yeah.
But the text, man, that shit crazy.
Yeah, I got a weird text the other day. I'm not sure if it was a political joint or not. Da-da-da-da. Yep. Anthony, let's not take this election for granted. Yep.
Yeah,
there you have it, young. No, dog, this is what got me, young. So the rest of the dream is I'm volunteering for Joe Biden and Democrats down the ticket to ensure that voters have all the info they need. Can you make calls with us, too? I'm like, you going to ask for my help, too, young? Like, you got some kind of nerve, young.
How dare they?
Dog, like, do your job, you know? Don't have me to do your job for you or help you. Like, what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. Other than potentially a better country, but, you know.
Dude,
other than that.
Other than that, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be glad when this shit's over with, you know?
I've also found that if you donate to a candidate of any particular party, if you use like actblue.com, something like that, some central, yeah, it's going to ramp up to the point that's pretty much the only text I really get now. I just assume it's somebody from my campaign or something just texting.
See, you're trying to do the right thing, and they use your console eating the show.
Just read the whole text. A lot of times within the body, the text is an option to opt out, and that's pretty much what I've done now. So,
as if black men need another reason, there y'all have it. Have at it. Mm-hmm. What's up with you, Bob? What's going on this week, man? Other than the text and shit.
Nothing much, man. Actually, about to pay a parking ticket.
For real?
Yeah. Actually, it's a moving violation. They got me speeding on Independence Ave. Yeah. I don't understand, yeah. You know.
But they should have better things to do.
Yeah, they just be fucking with niggas, you know. These speed traps just don't be in the white neighborhood, y'all. I ain't even know it was a speed trap right here.
Don't they usually give you like an amnesty period though?
What do you mean?
Like when they put up a brand new joint in my neighborhood, like they'll give you like 2 weeks or so.
I don't know when this joint went up. I just know I done got hit by it. This is my second time, man. I ain't used to it being there, so now I gotta pay attention, you know.
Yeah. Thank goodness, my car I bought last year, that joint came with Waze built in to the fucking the Apple CarPlay, so I be getting like notices when that joint be coming up, you know. Dog, the worst shit, and like you know it's there, but I just keep on forgetting it until I see that shit pop up on my damn Waze, is that joint on Benning Road, you know? That shit's like fucking 30 or some shit. And I'm like, man, this is too much, you know? That shit's the worst, dog. I be looking to the right, looking at that motherfucking golf course, you know? I'm like, let me see if I know anybody out here. I be seeing all these motherfucking cars slowing down. I'm like, oh yeah, it's that fucking speed camera, you know?
Yeah, that joint probably got me once. But yeah, them joints so obvious. Like, I don't know how to. I must have been in a rush. But this joint, I don't even know where it is. It's just hidden. It's like, it don't flash. It don't do nothing. So I'm like, all right, y'all just taxing niggas right now.
Got a stealth joint, young?
Yeah. That's all right. It's going to be on the news because, just like that nigga, he was, I think it was out Kenilworth. He got out the car because he kept getting him. He got out the car and fucked that joint up, you know?
That nigga went off of space on the motherfucking camera, yeah?
Yep.
See, it's funny, yeah, but that nigga, he can go to jail for that shit, you know?
Man. He just looked like he was passing, pointing over turn. Like they, I mean, it ain't like they interviewed him or anything. They just caught traffic footage. So it was a camera like not too far away from like that particular traffic camera. It was like a neighborhood like Crime Stoppers camera, and they caught his ass fucking that joint up, man. I mean, he was fucking it up.
So got a call on camera by T.I. Young.
Man, he was kicking that joint and shit. I was like, man, I don't even blame you, dog.
Cause yeah, I think they probably would have caught him if it was like doing. It was at night.
Yeah,
it was the same video.
Yeah. Yeah. So you saw it?
Yeah, I saw the shit.
Yeah, he was acting a fool. Yeah, you know? I was like, man, I don't even blame because they. I forgot the number, but he got lit up by that joint, you know? So he just had it. He was like, I'm breaking this motherfucker.
Alright. I meant to, I told you in pre-production, I was going to ask you, because one of my co-workers, one of my contractors, rather, today, was telling me about his son, and like his, you know, his growth and his like began to accept the social distance learning or whatever. Has your daughter, has she had any more tantrums, John, or she been good?
I mean, she good for one a week. For the most part, she good though. Like, it's just, I feel bad for these kids, man. Yeah. So weird time. I mean, but she see her friends every now and then because we still go out. Like, we go to the park. It's like four or five playgrounds around here, and we kind of, like, switch it up. And so she runs into her classmates a lot.
Okay.
So, you know, she not good with observing the social distancing, so she be trying to hug up on people and shit. So, I got to be apologizing and shit.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, we ain't supposed to do all that. Man, she was chasing one boy down like, nigga, I ain't seen you all summer. Like, give it up. Give it up. He was like, yeah, I was in North Carolina. She was like, fuck all that. So, Yeah, she got getting used to it, man.
And Kenny the little bar running around saying, "You acting stupid." Give me a hug.
Yeah. But yeah, man, like it's tough on the kids, man. The teacher, like, you know, I was joking about them breaks she was giving out like that first week. Like, we had a parents teacher call with her. She was like, "Yeah, I'm giving out more breaks too." She was like, "Y'all gonna be?" She was like, "Look, you know, we've been through like 2 months of this now." She was like, "You know, everyone can see like these kids can't handle, you know, 6 hours of learning this way." She was like, "We're gonna have to break this shit up to where it's like 3 hours total. Like, in the morning, it's just going to be like an hour and a half, and in the afternoon, it's just going to be like an hour and a half. Like, sure, we're going to still start at 9, and we'll end at 3:15, but, like, the shit got to be broken up with, you know, 15-minute breaks, like, shit, pretty much every 30 minutes. So I'm like, you know what? I fucks with you. That's a good idea. Like, I can't even be mad. But, I mean, I think they're supposed to open the school back up next month. And, you know, I know some people don't have the situation that we have where we can just, you know, keep the kids home. So people are going to be sending their kids back to school.
So when this happens, are you going to have a choice? Like, are they going to?
Yeah, you get a choice.
Like, stream it and, you know, be in the class? Okay.
Yep. But what's crazy is, like, I think because some kids are already doing, like, where they get dropped off at, like, a daycare center, and they do these little learning pods where they have one person, like, supervise kids using their devices while they stream their classroom. But they're not at home because the parents, you know, they got to go to work or whatever. And so, you know, some of the daycare centers have just opened up for just that sole purpose. Like the kids, the parents pack the kids lunch and all that, and all the people do, they're just responsible for overseeing their virtual learning. I think that's how some of the classrooms are going to be, because some of the teachers don't want to go back either.
Right.
So they're not going to force the teachers to go back either. So I think they're just going to have some people to sit in the classroom and supervise while the teacher, like, you know, if they so choose, they just kind of, you know, they stream the teacher in the class and to the other students who are learning at home as well. So it's crazy, man. They just about to replace these teachers with these robots, you know.
Come on, yeah. Not them bots, you know. But something I hadn't thought about until you just said, though, with how COVID has affected, like, all different businesses or whatever. I never thought about how it affected childcare, you know, because, you know, that's big fucking money, you know. But a lot of these kids are home now, man. So, yeah, I didn't thought about that shit.
Yeah, it's wild, man. There's a lot to process, man. The shit that's going on, how it's changing everything.
Yeah, but I know. Like I was talking about, homie from my job or whatever. Like his son is in junior high school, and he's like the biggest problem is like getting him to focus because he has multiple devices, so, like, he might be in class, or but he's doing that either on, you know, the MacBook or the iPad, and then he's texting his friends on his phone and shit, and then, you know, obviously when you got your attention diverted in 2-3 different places or whatever, like, you're not getting, you know, the full effect of the plan or whatever, so, yeah, man, everybody's going through different struggles, I guess.
Yep.
Segue into my mini first world struggle from last week. My damn AirPods, my left pod just fucking went out and shit. So I'm like, dog, I just bought these joints. So I had to set up a jeans appointment at the new Apple store downtown or whatever, and of course it was like a week and shit, and then I was reading all these damn horror stories about how they took them, they took people's AirPods and they had them for like 3 and 4 days, and I'm like, I can't afford to have my shit's gone for that long while I'm out here trying to get these last few weeks of miles in before the weather gets bad or whatever. So I went and put up a post on Twitter or whatever how my genius appointee was a deaf dude, young, and man, best fucking customer service ever, young. This nigga just listened to me, fixed that shit, and I was out there in 15 minutes instead of trying to, like, give me suggestions and ask if I did all the shit that, you know, a breathing person would do before they bring some shit in or whatever. So that was cool, but the funniest part about that whole process was, of course, I was late for my damn appointment and shit, and I was downtown, and I was trying to find parking. I was like, this shit's going to throw me off 5 more minutes or whatever. So I finally found parking around, I think, the Conrad Hotel, and then I was double-timing to the Apple store, climbed them goddamn steps and shit, you know? And of course, the sign said, go around to the other entrance or whatever, so I'm going around to the back or whatever. I'm cooking like shit. And it, like, they got two lines. They got lines for, like, just general, you know, business and whatever. And then appointments for the Genius Bar. And I get in the Genius Bar line. This nigga, some hype beast fat ass nigga, you know, with some motherfucking cut off van shorts and some damn psychedelic socks and some Yeezys on and shit and a hoodie. Looking at me all crazy. You know, he's like, yeah, you can go down there now. We'll see you. And they'll take your temperature. And I'm like, what? So, nigga, I am sweating like a fucking pig, you know. And this girl standing down there with a fucking thermometer, just like, she looked at me just the same way he did, you know. And I was like, nigga, if I get turned away from my damn appointment for some damn, like, my temperature being too high, then they put me on a fucking COVID list, huh? I'm going to be furious, dog. But, you know, she just said, yeah, you good, go ahead, you know. So I was sitting that motherfucker, that big ass library, young, wiping my forehead every 3 seconds, young, until homeboy came and got me, young. That dog, sweat is still a problem, Sam, after all these years, dog. Just can't get rid of it, young. I thought it'd be better by now, but, yeah, man. Still Mary and Barry out here on the track, dog. All right, let's jump into some sports. I guess we can start off football. No more basketball. KB.
Mm-hmm.
Battle of the Terrible in the NFC East, John. The worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I feel good that we won, John.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kind of empty feeling, young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, feel a lot, you know, like your hey, man.
Hey, my bad. Let me jump in. Before we get too far into sports, did y'all see Shannon go almost skip the day in? Or was it yesterday?
About what?
About what defense the Cowboys were playing when Kyler Murray ran the ball in. And he was arguing over whether DeMarcus Lawrence had contained on the outside.
Nah.
It's real good, you know. Anyway, I mean.
Well, yeah. Well, shit. Now that you said it, like.
I'm going to just retweet it so both of y'all can see it. It's pretty good, you know. I was like, yeah, that's. It's getting closer, you know. I keep telling y'all.
Man,
it's gonna be some contact, you know.
Man, Skip is not that dumb, you know.
It's not necessarily about him being that dumb. I just think Shannon could get that mad where he hit that nigga, you know. It's bad. My bad though. I just wanted to ask if y'all saw it so we can talk about it. Oh yeah, young. Before we get off the, how was your week, young? Did you want to talk about have a quick wash talk?
Wash?
Yeah.
Oh sure. Yeah, go ahead, young. Have at it.
Well, I mean, It's about both of us, because I guess we discovered both of us got scared we were going bald. Yeah, anyway, so to fill people in, like, you know, I talked about it earlier in the summer. Like, I was wearing this hat, like, early in the summer when I was going out on my walks or whatever. And, you know, every day I come home and, you know, I notice it looked like I was, you know, my shit was thinning on both sides in the front of my, on my hairline, like in the corners. And, you know, I told my boy Jerron and Dave, because they was going bald and shit, and I was like, yeah, where did that shit start? And both of theirs started in the back, so they wasn't no help. So I was like, yeah, you know, I ain't got no donut. Like, I'm straight right there. I'm like, I think this hat causing this shit or whatever. So I stopped using it. You know, I got rid of the hat, and I was like, I ain't wearing no hat or whatever. Then, you know, like a month after that, still going bald. Like, it's thinning, you know? Like, it ain't looking right. Then I thought it was maybe my headphones. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, maybe nothing ain't supposed to be on my head or whatever. I'm thinking of everything. And then, like, I'm like, last resort, like, I'm a just wolf for a bit. So I didn't cut my hair for a month. I was like, I'm going to just, you know, let my hair grow, you know, and see where, you know, where I land with this. Man, sure enough, like, yeah, it wasn't growing right, you know? It ain't fill all the way in. It didn't look, it just looked patchy. Like, it was just light in them corners, you know? So I shaved it all down again, and I got scared, you know? I started, you know, I was about to start a subscription at, I think it's called For Keeps, or Keeps, and then the other one is called For Hims. So I was about to start a subscription for some finasteride and minoxidil from both of them joints, you know? But I chickened out because I was scared of the side effects. So, you know, I started doing some research and shit. And, like, I found out they got shampoos that, you know, can kind of, you know, interrupt the production of, you know, the hormone called DHT that causes baldness. So, yeah, man, went on Amazon, found the, like, top-rated DHT blocking shampoo. This joint by this brand called Shiny Leaf. Shout out to them. Free promotion. Yeah, I've been on it for like 2 months, y'all. And it's working. And so I hit Tone up because, you know, I hit Jerron, my boy Jerron, too. I was like, yeah, man, this shit works. So if you ever in the position, like, this is what you should use. Like, this is my recommendation. And Tone hit me back, and he was like, yeah, I'm way past you. So, yeah, you know, I ain't know anybody else was, any of my boys was going bald, you know. And certainly not, like, fighting it, because Jerron and Dave done gave up, you know.
Dog, I was so happy when I could go back to my damn barber, young. Cutting your own hair, dog, when your shit ain't like fluffy as it used to be, young. Any wrong maneuver, young, and you in trouble. So, I remember I first started using this fucking shampoo that I got from Marshalls and shit, and it was like thickener or whatever. I didn't think nothing of it. I just liked it because it smelled good, young. I ran out of that shit, young, and it's like, that on top of, like, me having to fucking cut my own hair or whatever, young. Like, I just noticed it was getting thinner, young. So, nigga, I panicked and bought, I went on fucking Amazon and bought, like, that shit. It cost, like, $30 for, like, the shampoo and conditioner, young.
Right.
But it was worth it, though. But, you know, this shit sounds like it's better, young. So, I'm gonna get that, young. It's just, you know, some shit you gotta go through, dog. Like, man, he was saying, Sam, young, it ain't about, like, you going bald. It's that you don't want to go bald, you know?
Right, yeah. That's the thing. Like, I keep my hair close cut, like, most of the time, you know? Like, so, just shaving it completely bald wouldn't have affected me at all. Like, I would have been fine, but, like, every now and then, especially in winter, you know, like, I like the wolf, you know? And to not be able to, for my shit to not be full, you know, I was like, nah. Like, I, like, this can't happen, you know? I'm just getting over, like, the gray. Like, that's been bugging me, too. But I can, like, at least it's dead.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, I'm not going to be gray and bald. The fuck?
That ain't right, man.
Man, yeah, it just, I was like, that ain't me, yeah. So, yeah, man, like, I, anybody, any niggas out there, if you just starting to go ball, young, get on it, young. Because that's the thing, everything I was reading, they was like, look, you can't wait too long. Like, don't try to use this shit after you fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta start fighting it. As soon as you detect you going ball, you gotta get right the fuck on it, young.
Yep.
Cause all the reviews I read, like, they was laughing at niggas who waited too long, man. They was like, yeah, man, like, you can't do this shit after years. I was looking in them Amazon comments. I mean, someone was making me laugh, someone was making me scared. Like, cause, you know, I was like, man, this shit might not work. I might have waited too long. Cause, you know, it had been like 2 months. But, you know, niggas was like, nah, man, like, you, that's cool or whatever. Like, I started using my shit like 6 months after I started going bald. Like, I'm straight or whatever. And then, you know, it was a dude like, yeah, I've been going bald for years. This product ain't work for me. Niggas was laughing like shit. Like, you bald head motherfucker. Like, you waiting all along. Like, we can't help you.
Hey, you know what would be the funniest of joints? When they put the pictures on their young, and it'd be a dude with a, that motherfucking Kevin Spacey poof, young. They be like, I think it's coming back in, y'all.
Oh, man.
Oh, like, young, they must fucking use, like, a big-ass blow dryer and a motherfucking fork, young. Get that junk to get the poof, you know?
That's souffle, you know?
Hey, you know, Spacey Dog the best, you know? He done kept that poof for like 15 years, you know?
Man, you know who was the best for a minute, you know? Well, Cage still up there, you know? But Bruce Willis was the champ for like 30 years, young.
Yeah, he was, young.
Bruce Willis went through moonlighting until, I'm trying to think of what movie, young. Maybe like motherfucking, nah, it wasn't Hudson Hawk, young. He was still straight by then. But it was a movie probably in the early 2000s, young. And then, like, that was the last you saw of Bruce Willis with that motherfucking island sitting in the middle of his head, young.
Hey, dog. Speaking of which, young man, always seize the moment, dog. Walking up to Giant all summer, dog. Like, somebody's house or whatever. They always keep their fucking windows open. And they had, like, this fucking, this picture sitting there, goddamn, like, facing the damn street or whatever, nigga. When I finally paid attention to it, dog, it wasn't even a picture. Somebody had made, like, a handcrafted, Nick Cage pillow, young, and then sat that shit, in their fucking window. That shit looked creepy as fuck, young. And I was like, I'm gonna take a picture of that shit one day, but I don't want to seem like a fucking weirdo, young. And then that shit was gone one day, young. I was like, dog, nigga, so many jokes off that fucking pillow, young. It was creepy, it was funny, young. He had that half motherfucking laugh, terrified, Nick Cage look, young. Yeah. I was like, dude, somebody took some damn craftsmanship to put this shit together, dog. Like, yeah, they probably got dead bodies inside that house, but, you know.
Probably. Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to put that out because, yeah, I really do feel like I'm trying to do niggas a service because, I was 50-50 whether this shit will work, you know.
Damn.
But, yeah, man, like, $35, you know, gonna save my head.
Hey, dog,
don't give up, y'all.
Amazon is so fucking clutch with everything, young. Like, sometimes you have to sift through them fucking Planet reviews and shit, young. But if you press enough and you do your fucking diligence, young, you can find just about everything on that joint, young.
Yep.
Now, like, I first bought my fucking hookah setup or whatever, young. Like, they're not supposed to sell tobacco on there, young. You look hard enough, young, you'll find somebody who's selling that shit.
Yeah.
All right, back to sports. So, Kenny.
Yeah, the ball guy. Yeah, good.
Oh, shit.
But you cut your hair off early, Kenny. Like, I couldn't pitch you any other way, young.
Damn.
I don't think they had products available for you back then, man.
Back then? I mean, damn. I mean, what, like, maybe like 10 years ago? But shit, all right.
That's what I'm saying, you know?
Back in the aughts. You know?
Before traffic lights, Sean.
I mean, damn. Fucking iPhones, all kinds of shit, you know?
I mean, like, for him and the Keith's joint, them joints just popped up in the last 3-4 years, you know?
Yeah, but they had, like,
I'm saying, Ken, you would have had to go to the doctor. Like, now, right. that shit easy now, you know? Yeah. Niggas ain't got no excuse, you know? If you don't want to be bald, like, you don't have to be, you know?
You don't have a two-shaped head either, Kenny, so you straight, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you get used to it, after, it ain't the worst thing in the world, but...
That's right. It is not.
Once you get the, you know, the horseshoe pattern...
Yeah.
the enemy invades past the perimeter. He seems to be Sam, you know? All thing I can tell you is it's live, damn it. So,
yeah.
It's a Seinfeld joke.
Yeah. All right. So our game on Sunday, Kenny. Seemingly the worst of the worst. We got the win. You know, you can hear by my voice I'm exuberant and overexcited about that shit. But it is good to get a win, just so, like, you know, the oh and whatever jokes will stop or whatever. So that's cool.
Y'all not going 0-16.
Yeah, you know, would be.
Yeah, right.
Seems like we've been here before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, like, turnover aside, like, if Daniel Jones played all his games against the Redskins, you know, he'd be all pro quarterback, you know?
Mm-hmm. We can say that about a lot of people, but yeah, definitely him. No doubt about it.
Yeah, like, two of his best games have been against the Redskins. Well, the Washington football team.
The Washington football team, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, man, decent game by him. It wasn't like the two games from last year, but good enough to get a win. Feel bad for the kid Crowder, who got the late turnover in the game-winning score. He was Mr. Irrelevant last year in the draft, meaning the last pick of the draft. And it ended up in a Giants uniform and, you know, made the roster and obviously got on the field. He had just gotten hurt and at the end of that game, and he's on IR for the next few weeks or whatever. So, tough break for that kid. But other than that, man, you know, it was just a win, man. And what are we, a game or half a game out of first place now?
Yep.
My man at work said they need to set our division on fire, you know?
I saw something, I think it was yesterday, they were doing simulations for the end of the season, and it's just entirely possible that a team from my division can finish 4-12 and still win the division.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
And like, you know, this happened a couple times with the simulations they were doing. There's one where the Cowboys can finish 5-11 and win the division. Now, of course, you don't expect that to happen, because it's never happened, but it's possible. Yeah. It's entirely possible.
Yeah. Now, what I will say is seeing the Cowboys, how they performed against the Cardinals and a few of I think the Eagles. It wasn't against the Ravens, but it was against someone else in the past couple of weeks. We didn't look as bad as they looked. Like, you know, Cardinals beat us, but they just beat the dog shit. Like, that game wasn't even close after, you know, with the first quarter, man. Like, you just knew it was going to be a bad a bad evening. And
and the thing about it is, Kyler Murray started off real slow in that game, too. I think he started off 3 of 12 passing. Mm. It looked like it was going to be one of those games. Like, even Brian Griese was saying, like, you know, your quarterback is obviously starting off slow. This is the time to start running the ball. Then maybe you can start, you know, working up the play action. But the offense didn't start off on fire at all. Mm. Yeah. And it still wasn't close.
Yeah. Playing a bad team, like Zeke Elliott had 2 fumbles back to back.
Yep.
He had a fumble last week against us. He gets paid a lot of money, man. And
and right after that second fumble, Tony Pollard came right in the game.
Yep.
And they moved the ball right down the field. Now he came in to finish the drive, but
yeah.
You can't do that, you know. You just can't do that and expect to continue to be in the starting lineup. It doesn't really matter who you are.
Especially now when they're going to lean on him so much more, you know. I'm not sure how much Andy Dalton is familiar with the playbook. But, you know, Zeke is the cash cow, literally, man. They gave him the money, and now he's supposed to earn it, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I was listening to somebody, I don't know who it was. It might have been Max or somebody on ESPN, but you know, a big criticism that a lot of people had, including myself earlier on in the season, was like, you know, the Cowboys weren't running the ball enough. And they were like, man, look, when you pay a quarterback $30 million and you're not paying him to hand the ball off.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's just one of those dynamics. Like, everybody would love to have an all-pro quarterback and an all-world running back or whatever, man. But it's hard to balance that when, you know, again, the quarterback is the focal point of the offense in the team or whatever. So when you have him, you're paying him a lot of money, man. You know, you got to put the ball in his hands, man. I don't care who your running back is. And that seems to be, like, the problem that, you know, the Cowboys are running into early on in the season. And you know, especially this week, man, Mike McCarthy is getting the brunt of that that blowback from his decision to, you know, make this a pass-heavy offense and, you know, kind of neglect the running game. And now they need it, and now they can't jumpstart it. So, but yeah, what you got? What you think about the Washington football team?
Dog, I left in the third quarter. I didn't see the end of the game. I heard what happened, and I just assumed correctly that Riverboat Ron decided to go for 2, and he didn't get it. And okay.
Now, I've heard differing opinions on, you know, his decision, how it everything from, you know, he just made a call because he didn't think they had anything left in the tank to he ruined the season.
They didn't ruin the season, but in situations like that, to me, I would just go for the tie and try to extend the game. Mm-hmm. But that's just me, so.
Yep. All right. Well, that's us. Ba, I know you got a lot to say about this game. The Pack and the Buccaneers. One of only 2 late games on Sunday. That was kind of whack. Hit the button?
Yeah, my bad. I thought they was going to win, but I didn't anticipate that kind of dominance from that defense. I ain't going to lie. I had a inkling, you know, once they got down, once Green Bay got down by a couple of touchdowns, that it could get ugly, because that's just been my experience with them. And I'm trying to be kind and not just pinpoint it to be during the Aaron Rodgers era. But yeah, when they get down, it's they don't come back, you know. So, I think that's an issue for them, and it doesn't bode well for the rest of the season as far as, like, them being a serious contender. And of course, that narrative lends itself to people pinning it on the defense to be a top five defense. You know, which they may or may not be. I don't know. I think they can be a top 10 defense. But the idea that they have to, like, hold people, like, this is where I get lost. You know? So, Tampa Bay scored 28 points in the first half. Right? They scored 10 the rest of the way. Bring your team back, young. And he don't be doing it. That's what I don't be understanding, you know, like, stop acting like they just hemorrhage points the whole game, you know. Most teams, when they get up, they not trying to score no more. And that's why great quarterbacks are able to bring their teams back consistently. Because teams get relaxed, and you're supposed to start putting points up. He don't be doing that, you know. Especially if he throw an interception, he give up. So, it just seemed like that's what happened again. It's something I've noticed over years, and it happened again. So, again, I'm not the bad guy for pointing these things out about the dude, you know. On the Tampa Bay side of the ball, very happy Chris Godwin is back. Because they needed an extra weapon. Because, yeah, I tried to get sites about that Scotty Miller shit. Like, he can't do what Chris Godwin do, you know. He can't go over the middle, you know. Like, yeah. He just not built for all that shit. Glad Gronk looked halfway, you know. His running a bit more fluid. He still looked, it looked bad. He looked like one of them motherfucking Boston Dynamic robots trying to run, you know. He looked fucked up, you know. Yeah, they're going to have to get Brady more involved. I understand Brady got rapport with Gronk. He says some nice things about Cameron Brady. But he got to start looking for him more, you know. And because I don't think Gronk's going to hold up. So, yeah. Yeah, man. And, you know, the defense, what else? Ain't nothing else to say, you know. Them niggas beast, you know. Yeah, Devontae White is, he fast as shit. Yeah. Good win, man.
Is Tampa Bay on top of that division now?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
I mean, actually, they just a game up because they played more games than New Orleans. But if New Orleans win, New Orleans would, I think, be in the lead because they won the head-to-head. So New Orleans is 3-2.
Yeah, this shit is all out of whack, young. Like, these fucking 5 o'clock Tuesday games and shit, man. Like,
man,
I don't be knowing what's going on, yeah.
Yeah, them joints be surprising me.
All right, speaking of one of these weekday games, Tennessee beat Houston in overtime the other night. Kenny, is Derrick Henry possibly a front runner for MVP right now?
I wouldn't say a front runner now.
Top three, top five.
Maybe in that range. I don't know if honestly he would be a front runner over Ryan Tannehill. To be honest with you,
he had to have like two or three more games like this one.
All right, well, they got the win over Houston. Another tough loss for Houston, man. They have, what, one win? Yep, 1-5. That's too bad. All
right, so real quick. So I just Googled MVP Watch. There's an article on ESPN.com. 7:15 today. So one, they had Russell Wilson, two Patrick Mahomes, three Aaron Rodgers, and four Ryan Tannehill.
Okay. Then they have
five. Josh Allen just missed was Aaron Donald. Derrick Henry was right under Aaron Donald under the just missed. So I guess he'd be maybe seven.
This is updated.
It's updated today.
So they still got Josh that high?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, he's had an unbelievable season up to this point. He may have been higher before this last week's game.
Because didn't they just lose to Tennessee?
Yeah, lost to the Titans last week, yeah.
Yeah, then they lost this week again?
I mean, but they were still 4-0, and he was still one of the names being mentioned.
I forgot which talking heads. Matter of fact, it was after the game, and it was whoever was on with Scott Van Pelt, and they were just like going through the tape of the game, and they were like, "Yeah, man, his pre-snap reads were off, and then like the two or three opportunities he had to like you know hit guys to make this a game and possibly win it, whatever, he missed it. So like that's 2 weeks in a row he hasn't like made the plays to propel a team. Like, he is still 14 for 27 for 122 yards and a pick, a couple touchdowns. Like, I seem like a little bit high, but I don't even know anyone besides Derrick Henry that could be in that conversation. So, it seems a little bit high after two losses, is all. All right, Indy came back to beat Cincinnati. Joe Burrow is starting to get beat up, man. He's watching Red Zone, and he was taking some hits, man. But the Colts' defense is pretty good, and he put up 27 points. So, good win for them. Atlanta beat Minnesota, 48-23, get a win. Who's the coach? Is it Romeo Crennel, or who's the interim coach for Atlanta, Kenny?
Nah, it's Raheem Morris.
Raheem Morris, okay. All right, and yeah, man, Kirk threw three bad picks, Sean. But you know, he came back to pad to make it somewhat respectable towards the end of the game. But they got blown out by Atlanta, gets their first win. Denver beat New England. Shit, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Locke. It wasn't him. He threw two picks. No. Patrick Lindsay, or was it defense? Oh, Cam threw two picks, too. Mm-hmm. Shit. Man, that seemed like a bad game, man. These trade field goals all day.
Mm. I think Brandon McManus, scored, like, the first... Was it him? Like, the first 12 points were all field goals? It was something like that.
Yeesh. Sound like us.
Yeah, I've been quiet about Cam. Because... this was a boom or bust situation. He got one more week before he started getting blamed. Yeah.
Blamed or out the league? Yeah.
Just blamed. They gonna blame him, you know. Because I saw Kellerman already setting it up. It can't be Belichick's fault. He said Belichick gonna come up with a game plan to make that offense efficient and productive. And it's up to Cam to execute. I said, that sounds like you just trying to blame Cam. You know? Execute with what? Them weapons still bad, you know? And people thought he was just going to be running like shit all year. Okay, he ain't going to do nothing to get hurt again, you know?
You got to do something, you know? You can't just put up 12 points, dog.
They sorry, you know? They sorry. They don't have nothing to do with him. I don't give a fuck who they put back there.
All right. Baltimore held on to beat Philly, man. If they'd have lost this fucking game, bro. I was watching the Washington Giants game. Kenny, did you like, watch any of this? And how in the hell did Philly get back in this game?
I didn't see a snap of it.
Apparently, Sanders ran the ball well for them. But, yeah, man, like, midway through the third quarter, I want to say, a Philly fan, I got, like, you know, is on one of my group chats, whatever. He was like, man, look, they just need to go ahead and bench Carson Wentz. Like, I've had enough of it. He's running the fucking rant and shit, man. And then they scored 22 points in the fourth quarter. So, I guess Carson will live to fight another day. But do you think we're going to see Jalen Hurts at some point this season?
If it gets to the point where it's obvious they're not going to the playoffs, then yeah. Because at that point, you had nothing to lose.
But they're still, what, a half game out of first place now?
Yep.
All right, Pittsburgh, mollywop Cleveland. Man, Baker got benched. They're an improved team, but they're just not on the level of, like, the last two opponents they played. They're not a Pittsburgh or a fucking Kansas City.
But they'll beat us, though. So.
Are y'all playing this week?
No, I'm saying they already beat us this year.
Oh, damn, I forgot all about that already, man. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, so they're like a middle of the pack team. I don't know what they have to do to get better and get to the next level, man. It's like, other than fucking protect the quarterback better, but that's a lot of teams' problem. Like, you won't get any sob story from me from that, because obviously. Chicago beat Carolina. Do you find Chicago to be a real threat, man, at 5-1?
That's tough, man. I don't know, man. Defense tough. They find ways to manufacture points. I guess they feel like they stabilize the quarterback position with Nick Foles. I don't know about that, but defense can keep you in games, man.
Yeah. No, I agree. I like their defense. Foles, like, you know, he's not fucking Joe Montana or anything, but he's an above average quarterback. I just worry about his fucking health, him staying healthy, huh? Seems the only place you can stay healthy is in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. All right, Detroit beat Jacksonville. Didn't see much of this game either. Let me see what AP had.
Well, I can tell you.
Is the goon running back of the week?
Sure he is.
15 for 40.
TD, yep.
Long of a whopping 8 yards.
Mm-hmm.
All right, AP. All right, what else we got here? Miami beat the Jets 24-0. Hold on now. So Miami beat them 24-0, but Fitzpatrick is getting benched.
Yep.
How does that work?
This time. Brian Flores always said that we're going to put Tua in the game when it's time. And after the bye, it's going to be time.
Hmm. Interesting.
He wasn't bullshitting. I know he's like, man, people just thought that the kid was just going to sit on the sidelines all year, but I never said that. I said that we're going to put him in when he's ready. And as the head coach, I think he's ready.
I'd be curious to see if any quarterback has ever gotten benched after shutting a team out. Hmm. Might be some Trubecs right there, yeah. All right, 49ers rebounded from a couple rough weeks to beat the Rams, so they stay alive in the West. See what Jimmy G did this week. Oh, he actually had a good game, yeah. 23 for 33, 3 touchdowns, 268. Yeah. And they didn't have a monster day on the ground, because that's usually how he succeeds off of play action. But he threw the ball well against that team. I guess they block well up front, man, because Aaron Donald's been kicking people's ass all year. good win for them. KC beat Buffalo on Monday night. Dog, did you see the play on the sideline with Pat Mahomes hit that circle button, young, and ran? I don't think it was for the first down, but he was like inches away from it, whereas he was like 3 yards away from it before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that just a product of him being just that good, or is it partly, you know, we don't want to get a 15-yard penalty because they protect the quarterback? They're going to certainly protect.
It's a little bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah. That was ridiculous, though. I don't like, mm-hmm. like that computer was cheesing, you know?
Yep.
So they get the win in less than pristine conditions up in Buffalo. And, of course, we finished the week off with the Arizona-Dallas game. Mm-hmm. But they still win the division, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can get your ass kicked like that, dog. Motherfuckers want your damn coach's hair on the platter, dog, and you win the division. I wonder how long it's gonna take for Jerry to come down that field, yeah. Like, you gonna come down on the empty field, yeah, and start pacing.
Yeah, once Jerry stop roaming the sidelines, you know, yeah, you might want to start looking up homes on realtor.com.
All right. What do you think about Le'Veon Bell joining the Chiefs? Do the rich just get richer, or do you worry at all about any type of chemistry being tampered with? That kid's hilarious. Edwards, man, he averages, what, 8 yards a carry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at it like somebody like him wants to come and, you know, compete for whatever role may be available to him. I don't really see the problem with it. Coming to Kansas City, you know, he has to understand that nothing's going to be guaranteed. You know, we're 5-1. We don't need you. So you can come in and do whatever you want, but you could be gone next week as well. Like, we're fine. We'll make this work with what we have. But at the same time, Le'Veon, you know, he brings a very versatile skill set to really any team. You know, his ability as a receiver, of course, his running ability. I don't know what the hell happened, you know, with the Jets, you know, the inner workings of everything, but, you know, we've seen a lot of guys get away from Adam Gase. We've seen them thrive in other places. This could be, you know, the situation for Le'Veon, because we know that he's talented, but
how old is he?
Le'Veon can't be no more than, what, 27, 28 years old?
Okay.
And that's me just, let me look at it real quick. Let me unbill. Yeah, 28.
Okay, he's getting close to that number.
Yeah.
Kenny, the number is the number, bro. The number's the number. Which is why he was probably so adamant in getting his money, because he knew that number was approaching.
Yeah. But didn't play in 2018, you know, of course, because of the holdout, you know, like missed an entire season. You know, he came back last year and played, what, I think it was 15 games. So, yeah, you know. Yeah. 79 games played since 2013. Yeah, again, man, I don't really see the downside to it. So, if he fits in, great. That's a fantastic weapon to add to their offense. If he doesn't, he can be gone, and I don't think they're going to skip a beat. So,
all right. I think I saw today that the Seahawks are looking to possibly bring in Antonio Brown. What you think about that?
Again, type of dude, he can come in, and if he fits in, great. If not, he can be gone as well. Like, certain situations, you know, for Le'Veon of Kansas City, Antonio possibly in Seattle, I think those would be great landing spots for both of them because there's a culture already with each team. Kansas City coming off a Super Bowl win. Seattle, they're just crazy, and they're just kind of a reflection of their coach in a good way, in a lot of ways. So, yeah, he can come in there and try to fit in and give the program or not. So,
all right, well, gave us one, but let's get to the rest of your awards. Award for the week.
Yeah, the other one was Gronk. Fantasy football sites week 5 receptions, 78 yards, touchdown to the Bucks, 38-10, win over the Packers. He had a 31-yard reception. That shouldn't be happening again this year.
It's not going to happen again this year?
I don't think so, man. It's hard watching him run.
Kenny, I don't have that schedule in front of me, but they play anybody from the NFC East?
You know what?
Yeah.
Let me look. Yeah. I'm sorry.
He might dial it back, Gronk. Yeah.
They got the Giants. Yep. On November 2nd.
Mark your calendars.
Spoke too soon.
Yeah, man. All right. My D'Angelo Hall playmaker of the week was Derrick Henry. A nigga that big shouldn't be making that many 80 and 90 yard runs, you know? But he does it quite often, you know. And that motherfucking head be back out, like, yeah, he gone.
Well, first one of the year like that.
Yeah, but I'm saying like he does it like you know a lot more often than you expect somebody that big to do it. And my Larry Holmes Flabby and Sick Award goes to Zeke, dog. Hey. Two fumbles in the first quarter, come off a week where you fumbled in the first quarter last weekend.
Yeah. Speaking of Zeke, did you see them pictures they showed during the game of him as a baby?
Nah, he's a fat boy.
Hey, you know. Yeah. I'll send it to you, you know.
Okay, I mean, like, can you give me something funny that I don't go off of?
I'm just saying, he was eating ribs from birth. <you
know? laughs> Hold up. Are you sure they ain't a Photoshop his head on Jason Whitlock? Man?
Hey, by the way, speaking of Whitlock, that's my reason to wake your ass up update. He interviewed Trump, man.
He interviewed Trump?
Yep.
Did he bring the brownie?
So he brought the brownie.
He brought the brownie?
Of course he brought the brownie. The brownie in the White House.
Sound like a cop drama, yeah. The brownie
in the White House.
Hey, young. That's the name of this episode.
It is.
Oh, man. The brownie in the White House.
We should have a pool for the listeners. Yo. How long it's going to take us to come up with the name of the episode every week? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Place your bets with Will Hill. All right, man. Yeah, he got them fat boy cheeks, you know? He's like, what's up with that milk, girl? So yeah. Good. That's pretty good. All right, man. All right. Let's talk about that flight on Saturday night, Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a whole bunch of people had Lopez winning, right?
Mm-hmm.
I told you guys right before the fight, whatever. Ronnie had finally texted me back and said, yeah, Lopez, early stoppage.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that wasn't the case. I think Lopez definitely proved he was more than just a big puncher because he boxed on Saturday night and he had to, like, use all of his fucking skills to not necessarily win, but win as convincingly as he did. What'd you think about it?
I thought it was a pretty clear-cut fight to me. Lopez won the first 7 rounds. To me, Lomachenko won the last 5. I know on all 3 judges' scorecards, Lopez won the 12th round. But to me, I thought it was a 7-5 fight, and I thought the right guy won the fight. Now, I definitely have an issue with Julie Letterman's card, just like everybody else. She had it 11-1. She had a 119-109. That means that Lopez won 11 rounds, and to her, Lomachenko only won 1. And to me, Lomachenko clearly, just as clear as Lopez winning the first 7 rounds, to me, he won the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th clear. Like, to me, there was no doubt about those 4 rounds. And to me, he won the 12th as well. Now, maybe I need to look at the fight again to kind of re-examine the 12th round.
You thought Lomachenko won the 12th?
Yeah, I thought he won the last 5.
Nah, Lopez got the 12th clear, man.
I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. Like, to me, maybe I need to re-examine it. Because to me, I was just kind of hoping at that point that Lopez just kind of hung on. Because I think he got rocked in the 9th round and the 11th round.
Oh, for sure. I do too, man. But,
yeah. So, I'm just saying, yeah. Like, even take the 12th round out of it, to me, he clearly won those 4 rounds. And for Julie Letterman to say that he only won 1 round in the entire fight, yeah, that's why people don't really fuck with boxing like that, you know, because of shit like that. Because you have no idea what the judges are going to say. And, again, to me, it was clear just watching the fight. Like, take all the, you know, bets out of it and all that. Because I bet he's $25. That's pretty much the only money I put on the fight. And, of course, like, him not really knowing who Teofimo Lopez is and just thinking it's Lomachenko. He's the pound-for-pound guy. And the first 6-7 rounds, he's complaining about, you know, why'd I bet you and all this type of stuff like that. You take your $25 and get out of here. And then for the next 5 rounds, he's like, see, this is pretty much what I expected going into the fight. Because, again, it was clear that he was in control of those latter rounds. But if you're Lomachenko, you can't give away the first half of the fight against an A-level fighter. You can do that against B-level guys. You can't do that against an A-level guy, which Teofimo Lopez is. Because he'll capitalize on it because he was hungry. He wanted this. So he showed up. Now, again, he started getting tagged in the 8th. And it kind of went on through the 11th. Again, I need to look at the 12th round again. But there's no way in hell you can tell me with a straight face that Lomachenko only won 1 round in that fight. So the right guy won. You can have a problem with the scores, but not with the overall decision. The right guy won the fight.
So 119-109 was not a good score.
Absolutely not.
What? You want to tell Marcus that, you know? He was like, that's the right scorecard. And I'm like, dog, I mean,
no way. Absolutely not.
Again, I don't have any problem with Lopez winning because, you know, at the same time, you know, I was on a thread with them. I was on a thread with you guys. And I was like, you know, maybe a draw, but I wouldn't be mad if Lopez won because, you know, he just set the tone of the fight early on. But, you know, like, if you're being, you know, super objective, like, possibly, like, I had Lomachenko getting the 2nd round, and then I had him getting, like, you know, 6 of the last 7 rounds or whatever. So, you know, like, I'm not crazy because Andre Ward had scored the same way. You know what I mean? Like, he had it 114-114. I think it was a lot closer fight. It was just that it was a tale of 2 fights, and you know the first half of the fight and the second half of the fight was kind of made it a bit disjointed, you know. But yeah, Lomachenko, like, he definitely just waited too long, and I think that's based on, you know, like what I talked about earlier, like, you know, Lopez has this reputation as like a big puncher. He didn't think he would have that much patience to box him for that long, and he did. And, you know, he got like you said, I thought he got hurt definitely in that 11th. You said the 8th as well. But, like, you know, you can see a bit of an unraveling maybe due to a bit of fatigue or whatever, or just Lomachenko, like, finally finding, you know, his spots or whatever. But that dude boxed his ass off, and he deserves that fucking win. 23 years old, man, that shit's incredible, dog.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. Yep.
But that 119-109, she's out of her damn mind.
I was like, what?
Absolutely not. and for real, that's when she started thinking that he actually won the fight, because he was like, we sat there and just watched him, like, without a doubt, win four rounds in that fight. So if you're judging a fight and you have one guy win 11 rounds, and you just watch somebody clearly win four of those rounds, because again, to me, Lomachenko clearly won the 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. You're assuming then that maybe Lomachenko won the fight.
Yeah.
That's what his rationalization was, but I didn't follow that, but I kind of understand what he was saying.
Well, it didn't hurt his reasoning that while you had all this going on, you listened to Timothy Bradley also.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
Nobody's ever benefited from some fucking scorn like him. Yeah. And that was a good subplot to this fight, young. Like, watching him and listening to him and Andre Ward sub each other the whole fight, young. It was pretty good, mm-hmm. young.
Pretty good, young.
Mm-hmm. Like, 2-for-1.
Yep.
But,
I want to know one thing. Why doesn't ESPN have Max Kellerman do the post-fight interviews?
Who fucking knows, man. It must be some fucking language in his damn contract saying that, you know, you gotta pay me another $1 million, you know, cause you work my ass money through Friday anyway, you know. It's gotta be something like that, you know. Ain't nobody better.
Right.
Like, you know, the other sports shit is like the questionable shit with Max. That boxing, young, like, you can't question anything boxing wise.
That's his lane. That's why we know who he is.
Yeah.
So now y'all got these fights, and I mean, this to me was one of the biggest fights that have been on ESPN in a minute.
Yeah.
Just like on regular cable. And I'm like, you know, y'all can do a little bit more to give this. I was telling people I was watching a fight with, this kind of made me miss HBO boxing. Because you felt like it was a big fight. When like the music came on, Jim Lampley and all that. Now you can't bring the whole band back. But you can have Max doing the post-fight interviews, Jungle, even like sitting up on there and giving like post fight analysis, something.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet your doctor with Donahoe, Kenny. It's money, yeah.
Okay, it's got to be something. I hope it's not producer's choice. Like, nah, we good. Nah.
No, you're not. Yeah.
No, you're not. Yeah. No, you're not.
Yeah, man. But really good fight, and I was surprised that it was on ESPN because early on in the day when I was checking the listing, it said that the preliminaries were going to be on ESPN, and like the guy even cut off at like 10:30 or something like that. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'll go about my other means of finding this joint, and then suddenly at like 10:30, 11, whatever, the guy extended and said until 1. I'm like, okay, well, even better. I'm going to have to go to those other devices.
Mm-hmm.
Really good fight.
Yep.
What's next for Lopez?
I don't know, you know. That's a good question. There wasn't a rematch clause in the contract.
To which I would be not upset at all if they fought again, yeah.
Right. So, I don't know. If they somehow try to make that happen, I think, you know, people would like to see it, so. Yeah.
Was that wasn't Max on the prelim fights?
He might have been. I think I saw like one part of one of them joints.
You know what? He was because somebody had a question. I'm not sure if like they had a viewer question that they tweeted or some shit like that, asking what will it take for ESPN to have like major fights on a regular basis or whatever, and I mean, he asked that question. So, like, he was on the broadcast earlier.
I thought I saw him on there.
Yeah, like, you take your best guy off when the main event comes on, yeah?
Makes no sense.
All right, let's move on to our second segment, entertainment. And, Bob, you got anything you've been watching this week, man?
Just been watching Fargo. All caught up on that. Yeah. Actually, pretty good. I mean, I expected the show to be good, but Chris Rock is not ruining the show at all. Like, he's
Kenny,
okay. He's solid, man. No complaints.
All right. You're missing Sam give Chris Rock his flowers for acting.
Oh, good. Oh. Oh, good. Okay.
You got Sam?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Other than that, nothing much, nothing new. Oh, yo, get out. Jesus, he's so fresh, you know.
When I know, young.
Yeah. Drew, get out. Finished that To the Lake joint I talked about. It kind of trailed off. Not as good as I thought it was going to be.
How many really episodes is it?
What'd you say?
How many episodes is it?
Eight.
Yeah, I'm on three.
Yeah.
Young. First one I have two was fire. I'm like, mm-hmm.
I know.
Three.
It's puttering out, you know.
Yeah.
Let me know what you think as far as how it ended. I was like, man, this shit started too strong for y'all to just.
Yeah.
Man, I was a little disappointed.
Yeah, I did. Didn't you think Dirtbag Dude stole that car and left him in?
Yeah, I did.
He came back with help, you know. I say, yeah. Guess that would have been a little bit too predictable.
Right. Right. But yeah, I mean, it's a way to pass time if you're looking for some new shit to watch.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Lovecraft. Finished that. That was a pretty good ending. You know, this week's episode wasn't as good as last week, but that's okay. Overall, good show, man. What, Ken?
It didn't make as much sense, you
know? No, it made perfect sense. It was just, you know,
it did.
Not as good. That's all.
Maybe you could explain it to me. Yeah. What happened now?
My bad. Yeah, seriously, stop. Get out. You say, make it make sense?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, man, Christina had to get Tick's blood for that Equinox spell shit so she could be an immortal.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I understood, like, she had to basically... Well, not trap him. Like, he went willingly or whatever.
Right.
Like a trade-off to save Youngin and her fucked-up arm. So, yeah, I mean, they went through the whole thing, and it was, like, foretold, like, he was going to die the whole time. So, you know, him dying.
Okay, right.
For anyone who don't know, yeah, nigga die. So, that was fine. I mean, which part are you not understanding? Like,
it's a lot of stuff going on, and you know everything you said. Like, I got it, but it just seemed like there's maybe some things. It seemed like I may be missing, and that's maybe because early on I just didn't quite understand what was going on. I kept just powering through it, and there are aspects of the show that are pretty straightforward. Like everything you say, that was pretty straightforward. But it seems like I'm missing some themes. There's some things I may not be picking up. You know what I'm saying? Like at the end when the little girl choked to Christina, and she was like, "You just don't learn," or something like that. Like I'm sure that's like a callback to something that happened earlier on in the show, like why she did it and all that stuff. Like this is like small things like that I think I may be missing. Why did the Asian woman? Why was she the one that had to go up to the thing and, you know, get all the shit in her eye. I don't know, you know. Stuff like that, I just didn't quite understand why it was happening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I mean, for me, it was bigger than that. Like, I didn't know what was going on, period. Like, that's why I was so lost. It wasn't, like, small details, dog. Like, I knew the family had some kind of relationship with magic. And, you know, it became, put it like this, Christina's motives became clearer, like, 2 episodes back. Like, I didn't know she needed Tick's blood and all that shit. I had no idea, dog.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just seemed like they were running around for, like, those first 5 episodes.
Right.
Discovering secrets about their family and the family's, you know, relationship to this magical, mystical world or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly didn't give a fuck about it. But I was like, how does this relate to anything
right.
that's going on in their present? You know, how can it help them fight racism and all of that shit? Because those were the 2 main themes. Like, there was magic and then there was racism. And I'm like, all right, man, they still getting their ass beat by the cops or whatever. And then, you know, come to find out, you know, some cops knew magic and all of this shit. And I was like, right. Okay, like, it's all one thing. Like, they're not exactly separate. So, I mean, that kind of helped me as well. Like, I thought it was like this thing that was just between this black family and this weird white family that Christina and, you know, the white dude, she, you know, she would, whose image she would take on or whatever. And then I guess I started to understand her, because, you know, she was a white woman, but she didn't have access to things white men had. That's why she took on the persona of this white man or whatever. And so that was the theme of sexism and racism and how people use magic to fight both. You know what I'm saying? Am I losing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nah, I feel you.
So I was like, okay, so it's all one thing. I was like, I thought the outside world didn't really know what was going on between these two families, and these two families didn't necessarily want the outside world to know what was going on, and they didn't intermingle. Right. But mm-hmm. They definitely did, and I started to understand, like, what Christina wanted with Tick, and why, you know, she was so interested, and why they were working so hard to protect it, because they needed that book to, you know, further their bloodline or whatever, and essentially, you know, fight racism or whatever. So, I don't know. I guess that had a lot to do with what that little girl said to her. Because Christina wanted to use it for, like, some selfish reason, like, so she could just live forever or whatever. And the magic was to fight, like, the evils of society. And, you know, racism being the most visible and emotional when it comes to that particular family. You know, she could have used it to fight, you know, her shit as a white woman, but, you know, I guess sexism, but she was concerned with living forever, I guess. Or just helping people. Like, so, it just seemed like she wanted to use the magic for stupid, like, superficial reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, the purpose of it was to, you know, like I said, to fight society's ills or whatever. So anyway, like, I started to get it, like I said, a couple of episodes ago, but wish I would have got it a little quicker, you know.
Yeah.
Because some of the running around they were doing, that just, I wasn't feeling it.
Yep.
I still don't know. I don't even know. When they went to that Indiana Jones cave and shit, I got to watch that episode again. And Omar killed that lady.
Yep.
I was like, I don't even know. I don't understand that. I don't know why he did it. I don't know.
Nope.
I I'm gonna have to rewatch all of that. I was like, who was she? Why the fuck he had to kill her like that? Yeah.
Hey, let me ask y'all this. Kenny, I know you mentioned it before. do y'all watch breakdowns of this joint? Like on Emergency Awesome or Looper?
I was watching.
I was watching some of the early breakdowns on Heavy Spoilers. Mm-hmm. But I probably stopped like maybe 2-3 episodes ago, maybe 4 episodes ago. So there's a lot of stuff that I just, you know, just missed.
Okay. Because I know, especially early on, with Watchmen, I know like towards the end of the series, like a lot of stuff started making sense. But like first couple, you know, 3 or 4 episodes, like I definitely needed help understand what the fuck was going on. My fucking squids falling out of the sky and shit and all that. So you know, that definitely helped me out until I was able to catch up or whatever. So just wondering.
Yep.
All right. What you got, Kenny?
Yeah, that's it, man. I didn't get to see Good Little Bird. I'm gonna watch it when we're done.
Okay.
That's another chance. But that's pretty much the only TV that I'm really watching right now.
Okay. For whatever reason, man, like I really packed it in this past week, and I saw a lot of stuff. You know, got to start out with The Vow. The finale came on Sunday, and the leader of the cult, Keith Raniere, yeah, he went to jail, man. So they definitely tucked that head in that motherfucking squad car and took his ass to jail. It looks like one of his subordinates is about to fucking flip on him. They kind of like teased that, and they announced that season 2 will be out in 2021. And I can see them switch like stretching this shit out for another 2 seasons or whatever, because in real time this shit is going on. Like, he just got a fucking arraigned or whatever not too long ago. And yeah, man, looks like a whole bunch of this footage or whatever, like, he may provide too. I'm not sure if that's like part of his fucking plea or what, but that still goes on. And like I mentioned last week, right on the heels of that series is another series that's done on Stars, and it's like really following the story of the young lady Oxenberg. I think her mother was on either Dynasty or Falcon Crest or something like that, and like they're really like connected to royalty. So that's kind of like one of the traits of this cult, is like they find influential and rich people and try to make them part of you know, the group or whatever, to kind of give them some type of more powerful standing. You know, that's how they got the Dalai Lama. They got Keith to meet with the fucking Dalai Lama and take pictures with him, you know, automatically giving him more credibility. And I think that the series on Stars, people will be able to follow that a lot better, because I've had to piece a lot of things together with the HBO series, whereas the one on Stars kind of like gives you like a dummy guide to like find out, you know, catch up to everything's going on present day, rather than going all the way back to I guess this shit started like a fucking multimedia level scam called ESP back in the day, whatever, and then he kind of takes some of the money from that, and then found some more people, and then started this Nexium cult, whatever. And I feel like I'm getting a fucking bachelor's degree in Nexium, because I just watched a documentary on the ID channel. So if you go to fucking like you know, you're on demand, you can find this documentary on the Lost Women of Nexium, and it's like 4 women that have gone fucking like they've disappeared as a result of fucking with this dude Keith. Like, the first young lady, she was like 17, like way before he even started the cult and shit. And you know, according to her sister, like, he raped her, and then when she's about to like either tell on him or she may have been pregnant, like she went missing. They still haven't found the fucking body and shit, you know. And this dude is just fucking evil. Like the 3 of the 4 of the first women that he like brought into this fucking cult or whatever, he like lived with them, and 3 of them fucking died from cancer and shit. And then like years later, like they kind of like, you know, went back and found traces of like rat poison that to get cancer from rat poisoning, he had, like, you know, spoon fed that shit to them, or like, you know, put it in their, you know, food or drink or whatever, over the course of like 14 or 16 months or whatever. This dude was just like fucking evil, you know. And they finally got him on some charges, not dealing with fucking murder, but he done definitely killed some people. And on top of that, they have him on tape, like one of the ladies who like left the cult sent another woman who was still in it but trying to get out or whatever, in with like a recorder or whatever, and they have this dude on video tape saying, "I know for a fact that I've had some people killed as a result of being like in opposition towards me or whatever." And still, like, just, he didn't go to jail for that, you know? Fucking crazy shit. So, yep, I'm definitely hooked on this new Stars doc or whatever, because they don't really show how this young lady like left the cult on the HBO version of it. So this is gonna kind of like give you more insight, because she's all the way in brainwashed on the HBO joint. So looking forward to that. And this Allison Mack chick who was on Smallville, young, like, she just as bad as him, if not worse, young, because she's a woman and she like brought all these damn unsuspecting women into this fucking cult to get branded and fucked by this creepy ass dude. So definitely gonna check that out. Some other stuff I've been watching too. Have you checked out this joint called Evil on Netflix at all, or you just heard of it?
I keep seeing it. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, it's with Michael Coulter, and right. I forgot the lady's name, but it's like a they're like part of this like psychological like team that, you know, goes in and like interviews like murderers, like suspected murderers who are like using like their like the devil and supernatural shit to kind of like get off of like charges or whatever. And then him along with his partner, she's like just like a by the numbers psychologist or whatever, going to evaluate inmates or whatever, and she starts getting haunted by these apparitions and shit. And at first she thinks it's like all part of her, you know, just imagination or whatever. But then I forgot the creepy dude from fucking Lost and shit, he's on his joint, and apparently he's just a tool of the devil or whatever. So it's going down a real dark path, but I'm like maybe two episodes in, but it seems pretty interesting. I'm kind of about the same point I am with the other joint you just talked about, whatever, two or three episodes in, and it was kind of some highs and lows, but I think I'm gonna finish this joint in like the next probably 2 weeks or whatever. So that's good. It's called Evil on Netflix. A real good documentary I just watched on Netflix, I'm not sure how long ago it dropped, it's called American Murder, I think it's called. And American Murder, The Family Next Door. So it's about, like, it seems like a real long form version of a Dateline type story. And it's about this lady from Colorado. Her and her husband married and moved from North Carolina to Colorado. And, you know, they found a community there that they, like, you know, a whole bunch of friends and whatnot, whatever. And she goes missing one day, and then, you know, she ends up, you know, dead or whatever. And they piece together the whole, like, timeline with police surveillance. So, like, you know, the first cop who shows up, he has the body cam on. And then they go to, like, they seize her phone and her records, whatever. So she has all the texts between her friends, her husband, her parents, the next door neighbor. He has like a camera that like is like partially viewing like the front of their house, whatever. So between all that and the cops and the special investigator that they bring in, whatever, they piece together the whole murder and the whole timeline just using like social media and camera footage and phone records, whatever. It's real interesting the way that they did that. It shows you how much of your life that, you know, you might not be suspecting, like, is accessible, really is accessible to people if they, you know, the right or the wrong people want to get a hold of your shit. So that's pretty cool. And something else I was watching also. Oh, y'all, I know it's gonna sound crazy, young, but y'all need to come back to Fear, young.
For real? I was about to watch it. Hey, dog. I've been hearing it was pretty good.
Dog. So they had a episode last week, the season premiere, and it was Morgan, because he got shot by some crazy bitches in the last season, and I think they left him for dead, or like they just didn't. She just didn't finish him off because she was worried about dying herself or whatever. And he was, you know, like leading this nomad life or whatever. And she sent this crazy ass black bounty hunter after him. Yeah, he was so good. Yeah, too bad Morgan had to kill him. But I said, okay, that's just one episode. It doesn't really like involve the whole storyline about, you know, how the last season ended off, but they do bring it back to that. They did bring it back to that this week, and yeah, man, Strand's still conniving, young, but he is growing a bit of a heart now. Seems like he lost that when he lost his partner, or whatever. But he's kind of growing that back. But he's still ruthless though. So if you ain't part of the inner group right now, you're definitely expendable. But for everybody else, you know, he's still trying to, like, you know, lead them on the right path or whatever. And our man Ruben Blades, yeah, dog, just watch this episode, yeah. He acts so good, yeah. He acts so good, and somehow, you know, like they've been able to reinvent themselves and create a storyline that's pretty much the same old shit, you know. Crazy ass cult leader and got escaped and whatever, but they made it fresh, huh? Like, it's actually better than the OG joint at this point. Like, I know a lot of people were fans of the last storyline last season with the Whisperers, and I thought it was cool. Like, the lead character who played Alpha, she was pretty good, huh? But it's something about this shit right here. It just seemed like it's a fresher take on the shit we've been watching for the past fucking decade, huh? Like, I don't know if it's going to stay that way, but as of right now, young, dog, I never thought I'd say it, young. You got to watch Walking Dead, Fear Walking Dead on Sunday, young.
Okay. I was going to ask about, like, Strand and Salazar, because that's where I, like, left it. They were still alive, and
yeah,
dog. I don't know. I think you mentioned, like, Nick died.
Man, he died, like, at the beginning of the very next season after he quit, young.
Right.
And that's when that, like, I was like, come on, dog. Like, that, you know, we talked to Nauseam about, you know, that relationship between him and Strand was, like, the best shit on the show, and they just, like, killed it off. Mm-hmm. You know? But, yeah, man, Strand's still stranding, and, yeah, Salazar, yeah. He, yeah, so good, dog. And the way the joint ends off, young, like, yeah, man. Pretty good. Is that all I have? Yep, I think that's about all I have right now. I'm going to hop back on Fargo. I told Bob I was going to let a couple of them joints build up in the kitty, young, because it's so good. Like, when I just get that one episode per week, yeah, man, I feel incomplete, man. So, definitely hop back on that. All right, let's move on to the BP headline sites of the week. So, okay, remember last week I told you about Asian Doll?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she back, yeah.
Yeah, I know. She said some real stupid shit, I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, according to Asian Doll, you got to have at least 3 bodies to talk to her. She likes... Mm-hmm. Well, I like killers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, body's like, okay, you know, that shouldn't be too hard for a nigga. Like, a nigga definitely done fuck 3 times, young, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no,
mm-hmm.
She means murders.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's my theory, young.
Okay. I know you had one.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
it's okay.
For everything, young.
You thought this deep about it,
yeah,
young?
Yeah, yeah. Right. I had to, young, because, right. You know, it hurt my brain, young. So, she is signed to Gucci Mane, right?
Yep.
Since Gucci Mane is sane now, mm-hmm. That crazy gotta go somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So he didn't pass it to this dumb bitch. You know? So all the wild, crazy shit Gucci used to say, you know? Uh-huh. Yeah, it didn't carry it over. Huh. Carried it one, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, don't be surprised in the next month she's going to talk about she done fuck Waka Flocka's mother. and Nikki owe her some pussy. Uh huh. Yeah. And, you know, okay. Shit like that, dog. Yeah. All right. She's an extension of her damn CEO.
Interesting.
The old Gucci.
You went that deep with it.
Right. Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody should be this stupid.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, after everybody comes back and fries you. Oh, I did that on purpose to see how many of y'all dumb niggas would comment. Like, no, you didn't, young. You just that stupid.
You just that stupid, man.
Bitch said vote for Trump, man. At least he gave us money, y'all.
Is this going to be a weekly update, young?
Hopefully not, young. Because, you know. Eventually, one of her little demons or some of her little demons will catch wind of this, and I'll be, you know, all type of toxic, you know, instead of her just being mm-hmm. dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Asian doll, yeah. Isn't there an Asian kitty or something like that? She can't.
I don't know.
She can't even be original, dog. Like, young. Hope this ain't the trend like the Lil's young and the Youngs. I hope it's not. Yeah. Hope it's not a whole bunch of dolls.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a Cuban doll out there.
There's a Cuban doll.
I believe so.
Wasn't there a doll on one of them Love and Hip Hop joints? Wasn't Safari messing with a doll? You
know? I don't know. Probably.
Yeah, Dream Doll.
Yeah, Dream Doll. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dog, I swear to God, young. If a little doll pops up or a young doll, young, or a chopper doll, young.
Chopper doll.
Chopper. Hold on, I might like that one, young.
Chopper doll. Hey, yeah.
Chick be popping up with a whole bunch of big suit coach. a halter top and a suit coach. Yeah. Chopper doll.
Hey, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead with Chopper doll. Yeah.
Chopper doll. I gotta see what Chopper doing now. Yeah. He made that joint to a song.
Yeah.
That chopper suit got to be the proper suit.
Hey, yeah. Somebody he know listen to the podcast. Yeah. They gonna tell him about chopper though. His eyes gonna get big. He'll call his niece up like go to his closet. You know.
Mortimer, we're back. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Motherfucking chopper doll,
yeah. That might be good, yeah.
Really?
We want some credit if that happened, yeah. That might be good money.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but she's yeah, Asian doll. Back to the point, she idiot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't have a classy water week. So, KB, do you have a weekly racism wake your ass up update?
Yeah, I mentioned it. Yeah, yeah, Whitlock.
Oh yeah,
man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brownie in the White House.
Brownie in the White House.
Or this Brownie in the house. This is in the house.
Yeah. The house. The house. Yeah. I didn't write a book. I was booked.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
goodness, man. His brownie and Trump toupee getting like little capers and shit.
Like the,
around the house.
Like the head detective, yeah. So, not the brownie in the hairpiece, yeah.
Oh, man.
Really good. Yeah. All right, all right. Help us from derailing here, man. Give us some outrage, man.
Talk about Cube and 50 Cent. They got niggas mad.
Hey, dog. Niggas are so scared of 50, young.
Yeah, they definitely ain't going him like they've been going to Cube. I don't even know if it's scared. Like, he don't care. It's no getting to him. It's no trying to reason with him. So I think for the most part, people just leave him alone.
I think people aren't surprised by it. If there was any rapper, like, in that age bracket, that was going to come out and say some ignorant shit like that, you'd have put your money on 50. I think the thing with Cube is that people were disappointed and surprised by it. Just because, you know, man, Cube was the most militant nigga in music in the early 90s. I mean, shit going from, like, what, the early 90s to the mid-90s?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but, like, I mean, Cube had kind of had a lane of his own.
Yeah.
And, I just think with him, I think it was just a little bit different. I think that's why people had maybe a little more smoke for Cube than they had for 50. But 50 people just like, yes, yeah, this nigga.
Well, like, people in general, not so much. But if you're anybody that has, like, you know, is in the fucking industry, whatever, niggas are scared of fucking going at 50, young, because he is petty and he got time, young. And he don't quit until he win, young. So, yeah, I've been watching a lot of these motherfucking talking head shows and watching people, like, dodge this shit in interviews or whatever. Like, nobody want no fucking smoke with 50, dog. That's what it is. Oh, he crazy. You know, that's one thing about 50. Like, come on, man. Anybody else, Sean, you have all the smoke for him, dog. But 50, young, he get that passion. All right, so, I guess Cube had an interview on Hot 97 today. I didn't watch that. But you left out one, too, by Puff, you know? And, like, I saw Puff's interview with Charlamagne yesterday.
Oh, yeah? What do you say?
It's not...
Charlamagne asked some good questions.
He did. It wasn't as bad. And I see where Puff is coming from. He's like, you know, after... what election was that? When he had, like, the voter die... shit pop.
That was 2004, so that was
Romney,
Bush Kerry.
Okay, yep, sounds right. So he was like, you know, he did all had to push for that vote or die agenda, and you know, when all the smoke settled and shit, he felt like he was just used and like nothing was really done in the black community. So he was like, you know, fuck that, like we're gonna start our own, you know, movement. But then Charlamagne asked him, like, so let me just get this straight. You're not telling people to not vote for Trump. I mean, not vote for Biden, right? And he kind of danced around it. He kind of diddy-bopped around it, you know? Mm-hmm. He didn't answer it directly, head-on, whatever, man. But I see what he's trying to say. But, again, a lot of our problems in the black community is we don't follow through and we don't think things through, you know? Which is a whole bunch of emotion, but it's not enough planning. Because... my answer to that is, if you felt like that back in 2004, and then you go through the two Obama elections, and then you go through the last election with Trump or whatever, and you felt this strongly about, you know, our needs and our concerns not being addressed, you don't bring this shit up 3 weeks before a fucking election. There need to be some fucking, something more in terms of like a plan that you want to execute before 3 weeks till it's time to vote, if this has been on your mind the whole time. Mm-hmm. Now, if it hasn't, then don't phrase it that way, because it looks real sloppy at this point, you know? Because shit's all over the place, you know? Like, you know, where you supposed to go? Are there any candidates that you are supporting in local elections? Like, or is it just about the national election? Like, the shit is just real sloppy, dog. And I'm like, man, for somebody with as much money and potential resources as you have, for you to say that this is something that you're taking personal, and it's been personal for years now, for you to pop this shit up 3 weeks before an election, young, it just seems real irresponsible and sloppy.
One thing I was reminded of, listening to a lot of the people, you know, talk about, you know, Ice Cube and whether they're supporting Trump and Puffy and all that stuff, for some reason it made me think of Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart stepped away from his show at the peak of his popularity. He said, you know what, I want to do something different, right? Now, I know he did direct this movie that came out, I say maybe 3 or 4 months ago, with Steve Carell, and it didn't do very well, but he wanted to try other things creatively. But also, you'll see Jon Stewart trend every so once in a while on Twitter. And 8-9 times out of 10, it's because he's advocating for the first responders after 9/11 in New York to make sure that their healthcare is taken care of. And he just, like, whenever you see him trending, you just see it because he's on Capitol Hill testifying about it. It seems like he's doing a lot of work behind the scenes. Like, you don't always have to do all this stuff in public. You don't have to do all this stuff in the open. What about just doing it? But it's like, we get so caught up in who's saying it, the actual spectacle around it, rather than the actual laying the groundwork for these things to actually get done. And it seems like we just kind of get just caught up in this maze of, this person said that, well, fuck that nigga, is he a coon, because he said that, because even though I agree with 80% of what he says, one motherfucking thing, fuck that nigga forever. So then we're going to go over here, then this nigga, oh yeah, fuck that nigga, because he said this, even though I agree with 95%. It's like, it's so just scattered and frenzied. But then again, like I said, for some reason, it has made me think about somebody like him that, you know, uses his platform. When people talk about that platform shit, he no doubt has used his platform to make sure that those people that responded to 9/11, the Twin Towers, will make sure that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, and he said this, I just want to make sure that they're taken care of. Whatever it needs to be done, I'm going to do it. Whether it's showing up, whether it's writing, you know, letters calling people, whatever it takes. Harassing senators, I'll do it. It's just doing the work. But we just get caught up again just in the talking so goddamn much.
Yeah, man. Like, specifically again, young, the Puff shit, young. You know what it felt like, dog? It felt like a fucking album rollout, young.
Yeah.
No. Start to tease 3 weeks before, 2 weeks before, you know, you drop a single in the week of, young. Like, dog, if he's out here next week going on talk shows talking about this shit, dog, like, I'm done, you know. It's too late in the game for that, man. Like, had he started this shit even a fucking year ago, so by this time, whether, you know, a candidate miraculously, you know, is up for, you know, election or whatever, or that candidate endorses somebody else, so then you have more power behind, you know, the quote-unquote black vote, behind a fucking candidate, whatever. I'm cool with that, young. But 3 weeks before, what the fuck you think you're going to get done 3 weeks before an election, young? At least Q presented this shit in the summer. It's just a whole bunch of fucking background noise that we don't need right now. You know, niggas looking for an excuse not to fucking vote anyway, yeah. But again, dog, like, not only do rich people live on a different planet than we do, young. Here's something adding to that, young, and it's even more fucking like relevant, young. If you've been rich longer than you've been poor, young, then I got to question you, man. Because you ain't lived on my planet in quite some time. How long Puff been rich?
Been a minute.
Yeah, I think he's turned 50.
So it's 52, I believe.
It's at least half his life, you know. Yeah, man, like, I'm sure you have a distant memory of the struggle, young, but you ain't been there in a while. Wow. 50 Cent, even through his, like, you know, quote-unquote, like, money problems, you know, his bankruptcy, he ain't been broke in a long time, young, and, like, at least he has no cut cards about it, young, like, all he worry about is money, young. But niggas caping for that? Is he gonna share that money with you? Or are you just good with, like, seeing them books? Boy, niggas, boy, phew. I'm not even, like, necessarily blaming them, because, like, their lives are different, young, but don't try to double back and then, like, use the sympathy card and shit, young. Or, like, you can relate to me, young. Them niggas don't relate to me. So why the fuck would I take that shit serious? So, yeah. As far as Cube's concerned, young, I think he had good intentions and shit, but at some point, young, when the Trump campaign made this shit, public knowledge and everybody started attacking him, young, like, you're not going to attack a nigga and expect him to be logical, because at that point, young, he's just on defense and he's going to, like, you know, same thing to get motherfuckers off his back, young, like, well, what the fuck y'all doing shit, and then it's a whole different conversation, and then, you know, we not accomplishing anything, young, so yeah.
What's insulting about it in a lot of ways, though, is how obvious it is that this is what the GOP intended to do.
Yeah, it worked.
To target people like that, it worked. And but at the same time, like, for them to target the people the way they did, like, to target Ice Cube, to target, well, they didn't really target 50 Cent, but to then take that comment and then use a picture of them sitting next together and Photoshop Trump hats on them, and then Eric Trump talks about how they're two great Americans, and, you know, all these conservative commentators now talking about how much they love 50 Cent. I'm going to put 50s, you know, this, and listen to it or whatever. Like, yeah, just for them to even think that, like, somebody like 50 Cent is, like, a compass in the black community, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, man. Really sad that we gotta be going through this shit right now. I just hope niggas are wise in letting these fucking politics get them off base so soon. I mean, so close to an election.
Yeah, man. The early voting is breaking records, dog. So.
Yep.
Yeah. It seems like the first time, I think, in over a century, we've seen numbers like this. I think the last time that they expected this type of turnout was in 1908. And I think it actually may be the first time that early voting is going to outpace Election Day voting.
I just hope this whole plan to exclude some of these collections of votes doesn't go through, you know, because I've been seeing that shit. I've been seeing, I think it's out in California. It's not all shit's happening in California. They're setting ballot boxes on fire in certain neighborhoods and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you gotta ask yourself, why is one segment of this election party so hell bent on people not voting, you know? Certain people not voting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we know the answer to that, though.
Sure.
All right, you got nothing else. Hey, Kenny, it's two weeks in a row, dog. I'm not going to get upset, you know?
All right.
I'm not going to get upset. I'll reserve that right to the 3rd of November, mm-hmm. possibly, mm-hmm. Hopefully not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's 2 weeks, huh?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. It's almost here, y'all.
Yeah. Man. One way or another.
Yeah, one way or another. You just get it over with. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, Sam, you got anything else?
Yeah, I want to talk about, what was it, Willow, who said black people ain't fucked them?
I didn't see the whole quote, but wasn't the gist of it that Per and Jaden don't feel like connected to the black community?
Not that they don't feel connected, is that they weren't accepted. I think that was the quote. Gist of it. I don't know the exact quote, but yeah, I mean, I didn't think it kind of caught me off guard. I ain't gonna lie, but yeah, I'm not them, so I don't. You know, I remember us talking some years back when Jaden wore that skirt.
Yeah.
I remember that. Like, that shit was around 2012 or some shit. 13, I don't know. But, yeah, man, if that's what they felt. I mean, because it's hard to remember back then. Like, I mean, we're in 2020 now. Like, I don't think. It's been some years since, like, they've been questioned, I guess. Especially Will and Jada's parenting has been questioned. Because I remember it was a whole blow up. Like, she took some pictures with some kids who were like 20 years old. She was like 14 or 15 at the time. And they was in bed together. And I think CPS got involved, if I ain't mistaken. But anyway, yeah. So throughout all that, they, like, her conclusion was black people ain't fucking. I guess that's both. How they both felt. So, do we care? Man? I guess not. I really don't.
You know, like, not that I never thought of them as, like, you know, black, quote unquote, artists or whatever, but they just always seem like they were on that weirdo fucking LA vibe shit, you know? Which, you know,
right.
Other fucking artists thrive in that shit, but it's not really a question of, like, if they're black enough or not. It's just that, yo, they're just a little different over here, and, you know, their parents rich, too, on top of that shit. Like, it just would, like, kind of catch me off guard that they would talk about that shit now, or she would just talk about that now, whatever, when I never thought that really mattered to them, because they were just, like, on their own vibe.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was trying to understand, because, like, maybe it's because it's Will and Jada's kids. Because
mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know how she's any, like, quote-unquote, weirder than, like, Zoe Kravitz, but I guess we accept that from Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah.
Because her parents, like, they not thought of as all the way black, but mm-hmm. Will and Jada are. So, yeah, I mean, I was trying to understand where she was coming from. But yeah, it's much bigger deal in their heads than mine, obviously, because it ain't me who, like, you know, to get black checked and shit. So yeah, I mean, if that's how they felt, that's how they felt. I'm just glad we done talking about Will and Jada as parents, man. Like, the kids were gonna be fucked up or something. Like, that was annoying. Just in general, I don't like to listen to niggas talk about how some kids gonna be fucked up. Like, just as a general rule, like, trying to judge celebrity kids, you know? Because, like, you know, vast majority of the time, they gonna be fine, you know? Like, it, you know, they got parents who love them and shit. Like, I don't understand people be judging people's parenting like that. Shit gotta be hard, man. So every celebrity kid that turned out fucked up, just pray for them, because they parents had to really take a wrong turn, because the vast majority of them turned out just fine.
Yep, I never really thought about them. I was trying to find some artists to compare them to, but like, don't you know how, like, what's my man from the Far Side, Slim Kid Trey, or probably even better, remember Travis McCoy from they were just like they were still rappers or whatever, or they were still like, you know, black artists, quote unquote, but mm-hmm. they just had their own styles, and they kind of like appeal to, like, you know, maybe a broader audience or whatever, but they were still respected. But you didn't see people like Clamo, like you know, say, you know, on fucking Tuesday, I got to get this fucking Gym Class Heroes album because of him. It was just like, you know, we fuck with him, he cool, and like, keep it moving or whatever. But it wasn't anybody necessarily rejecting them or finding them, you know, outside of culture or whatever. But, you know, maybe they see that, maybe see some of their contemporaries and see the love that they get from, like, you know, the quote unquote hood or whatever. Maybe that's what causes some of the separation that they feel that they've gotten.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I mean, but, you know, that's in their own head.
You
know? Yeah. Because, of course, Jaden can't rap about shit. He sees some, you know, fucking NBA young boy. Like, he can't wear that kind of persona, you know?
Right.
He can't do it, so. I mean, but he has his own fucking advantages, so. And I think he's figured it out, honestly. Like, I mean, me and you kind of talked about this. Like, he ain't gonna never sell like that, you know? But he can be respected as a rapper, and I think he is. But He ain't gonna hit like that, you know. I think he can have some music people fuck with, but he's just not gonna garner that kind of love, because, you know, people know him from acting and being Will's kid. I think that's something he's become comfortable with. And he's accepted the advantages of it, because, you know, he's doing like the clothes and shit. Like,
yeah,
he can do stuff, man.
He doesn't play the game that a lot of other artists feel like they have to play either. Like, I've seen him just like straight up talk shit about Drake Shock and other niggas shit, you know?
Right.
So that's going to definitely put him in a pool of, you know, niggas, like, not necessarily ostracized, but, you know, people going to keep him at arm's length, because everybody wants that fucking Drake stimulus package at some point, you know?
Right.
But it's like you talking about with, like, young boy. The ironic thing is, a lot of these fucking young rappers or whatever rap about this shit that this nigga be living and shit. Like, this nigga isn't he a model for Chanel?
Yeah,
some shit. Yeah, like yeah, this nigga, like, he gets the clothes before y'all niggas can even see him in the stores. Yeah, the shit that y'all, like, you know, profess you know is a part of your everyday 1-2. And, like, you live this shit and you breathe or whatever. Like, nah, he's really the nigga that does this shit. And y'all niggas, like, catch that shit when it's, you know, when it goes to retail, yeah. And that's just, like, you know, part of it. Like, he grew up rich. And, yeah, man, that nigga lives the lavish style that niggas talk about. They fake until they make it. So, anything else?
Nope. That's about it.
All right, well, I guess the biggest news of the past couple of days is this Tory Lanez Insta Live he did last night. And I know I said this before, Young, and I kind of jumped to a conclusion here, Young, but forgive me, Young. I'm about to go back to not saying shit until I hear the whole fucking story, Young. Because at this point, Young, neither of them telling the whole truth. And now we got fucking bodyguards involved in the shit, and best friends, we ain't best friends no more. So yeah, man, initially I thought that, you know, this nigga shot Meg, and maybe he did, but it's something else in this fucking story, you know? As he said yesterday, like, when's the last time somebody shot you and you get right back in the car with them? That's a bit odd. You got shot in the foot, no fucking tendons are hit, and you back on Insta Live twerking and dancing a week and a half later. Yeah. But whatever happened.
So what is he saying happened then?
So let me be fair here.
Alright.
When Meg came out and, you know, said that this nigga shot me, and like, she didn't give a whole bunch of details, but she, you know, she said some other shit or whatever. I said, why don't these niggas just shut up and let their fucking attorneys do their talking when they go to trial, you know? So when Tory announced he was going on Insta Live a couple weeks ago and he dropped the album instead, I was ready to fry him. So let me take the liberty to fry him now, young. If you waited this long, nigga, why are you talking now? Like, I'm not, you know, a defense attorney or anything, but I watch enough Law and Order to know that anything you say, whether it seems important or not, young, can be used in a court of law, and that shit can come back to bite you when it doesn't connect to your fucking story in the timeline, young. So what may, like, he didn't necessarily say anything, like, he didn't say, I didn't do it, specifically last night, but he said, you know, it didn't go down like that, and, you know, I didn't mean you any harm, and yeah, like, he danced around it enough where, you know, the average fucking, like, ear would say, you know, he didn't say anything incriminating, or he didn't say anything that would hurt his case or whatever, but just talking, like, it's a reason why fucking lawyers say you don't say shit, you know? And he got on there and yada yada for 36 minutes, dog. So I'm sure he said something that people gonna bring back, and it's gonna come back and either bite him in the ass or help him. I don't know, young. But if you waited this long to not say anything, why are you talking now? So this is bad. Like, hey, man. If we can all learn anything from this, is alcohol and or drugs and guns don't mix, young. Something stupid gonna happen. And at this point, like, the person who seems the most negligent is his fucking bodyguard. Because as far as we understand right now, still know the whole story, he's the only one who had a fucking firearm there. So how do you let either a 5'4 nigga or... How tall is Meg? Like 5'9", some shit like that?
Yeah, something like that.
A 5'9" woman goon a gun from you, young. Or her friend. Or her former best friend. Somebody got the gun from the goddamn the bodyguard. Maybe. It's the most fucking peculiar story ever, dog. And, you know, apparently this shit happened in front of somebody's house, so it might be some security footage of this shit or whatever. And, yeah, man, I just don't know what to think about this shit at this point, young, but I do believe that neither of them is telling the full truth.
Okay.
One more, conspiracy theory, Kenny.
All right.
Drive it.
Sure.
In a roundabout way, this may be a blessing in disguise. How, you ask? If we can get this conversation back to Meg and Tory and how trash black men are, instead of whether niggas should vote or not, young, it's a blessing in disguise. I'd rather that be the fucking conversation. I'm used to that conversation. That's easy. That been a conversation for what, the past, what, 3-4 years especially, huh?
Mm-hmm.
how trash black men are. Yeah. I'm used to that one, young.
Right.
Niggas not voting, young. Talking about a fucking platinum plan in a black party, young. 3 fucking weeks before the election, dog. Now that's new. I can't roll with that one, yeah. But niggas trash? Cool.
Yeah.
When niggas say, no problem. All right. I found a pretty good alternative to niggas who, like me, that have sworn off Vlad TV. It's my nigga Queens Flip, young. I meant to hit both of y'all too, dog. Like, you know Queens Flip is right, Kenny?
Sure. He's a real asshole.
Yeah. Hey, dog. This nigga had Sean Branch on it last week, young.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was so good, young. So good.
Why do people set themselves up?
Cause, young, everybody want to be famous. Especially an old school drug dealer. Like for the people who don't know, Sean Branch is like an old school drug dealer from D.C. They used to call him like Mr. Teflon because he caught a whole bunch of bodies and like only to the end, like, you know, he wasn't getting he wasn't being found guilty of killing these people. I don't know how he was dodging all these bodies, but he was. But yeah, man, nigga want to be famous, young. He please put out a book too. Like, yeah, it's a press run.
Press. Cornhole Queens.
Hey, dog. Hey, Queens.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, young. I seen the views.
He started to gain that traction, young.
I know.
Started to gain that traction, dog. Like, because he has that built-in battle rap community, because that's kind of where he started, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. And then he started doing the viral videos, like when... what's the name about the beating the fuck up, young? I'm Tiana Taylor and all of them, young. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then now he's doing these fucking, he's securing these fucking interviews, man.
Mm-hmm.
Dog. When this nigga, Sean, said that Wayne Perry was gay, young.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, dog. Queens.
Mm-hmm.
Flip had them motherfucker, them Steve Harvey eyes, young.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward to this week, I forgot the officer's name, but he's like a narc and homicide officer in D.C. back in the day, young.
Mm-hmm.
This nigga said Alpo was gay, young man. Mm-hmm. So whenever Flip can't take no more, he get up.
Yeah.
He get up and walk into a closet, young.
Yeah, that sounds like something we would do.
He said, "Our boy, like, nah, son, nah, son." He walked into that closet, young. Like, his co-host is this DJ named G Money, young. G Money, like, yeah. There you go, there you go.
Yeah, I be checking him, young. I be checking him. Yeah.
Hey,
mm-hmm. I ain't never seen him go in that closet though.
Oh, he does all the time. Hey, it ain't even funny, man, but. Yeah, it's like just like you say, young Flip is an asshole. So maybe a week or two ago, he be interviewing all these fucking rappers and gang members and shit. So I'm not sure if you remember the rapper Bathgate.
Mm-hmm. I remember the name.
Yeah, from Brooklyn. He had his hit was called "Fuck That."
Mm-hmm.
So Bathgate was managed by I think he wasn't managed by him, but like his connect to the fucking industry was to do hip-hop from Rockefeller or whatever. And at some point, young, like, hip-hop just, like, stopped fucking with him. And then he, like, you know, he had deals on the table and all that shit. And, like, he became a has-been rapper, like, overnight or whatever when he was in that fucking, like, group with, like, fucking Fabulous and, you know, when the Locks got popular, like, that damn Punchline rapper group or whatever. So, it, like, according to him, like, hip-hop just stopped fucking with him. And, like, not only that, but he, like, blackballed him because there wasn't enough room for all, like, the Punchline rappers. And, you know, it was, like, you know, only spaces for a certain few, whatever. When he was going through that shit, and like Flip was like, "Yeah, so how'd you handle things?" And then like, you know, this nigga like went through a long story about how, you know, he was thinking about committing suicide and shit. You know, nigga started crying or whatever. And Flip was like, "Yeah, man, just let it all go, man. Yeah, just let it all go." And then then they have like, you know, a beat goes by, or whatever. He's like, not to go back to that dark place, but you know, tell me a bit more on what your mind state was like, you know, just about to take your life and all that. And, like, he went back to it like 3 times. I'm like, this nigga is such an asshole, you know?
Asshole, you know? Exactly, you know? See, that's the type of shit I'm talking about, you know? That's why I can't really fuck with him. Like, the silliness, I can ride with some of it.
Yeah.
But it be shit like that. I'd be like, see, Slim, that, you taking it too far, you know? Like, you truly trying to make this go viral, you know?
Yeah. Like, him and what's name, had like a war of like, anytime I see you, I gotta get my last licking and shit. You know the battle rapper K-Sean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so these niggas would be fighting anywhere, young. So these niggas was fighting in the fucking airport in Atlanta, young. Just like fighting in the middle of a fucking concourse, young. Just like fighting and shit, young. But they slap boxing or whatever. But like, nigga, you can't be black fighting in the fucking airport, young.
Yeah.
But Flip saw him, young, and he punched him in the back of the head in the airport, young. So, of course, you said, like, you turn around, you're mad at night, and you punch him in the back of the head in the airport, young. We about to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Yeah, dog, his interview is pretty good, young. Pretty good, dog. Like, man, when this old white man said that Alpo was gay, young, Flip said, nah, son. He went to open that door like, there you go. Oh, man. And right now, like, he got a war of words with, have you ever seen Mano's podcast called Kitchen Talk?
Nah.
All right, so he got a chick on there. I forgot her name, whatever. But, like, supposedly, like, her and Flip were going to do, like, some skits and shit. Like, what's the name even called them? Omar Epps to do a Love and Basketball skit or whatever.
Okay. All right.
And then,
because I seen some of his music video skits. They all right.
Yeah, right. And so, like, Flip went on to Mano's podcast or whatever. And then she was like the running joke on there was that Flip liked her or whatever. And then she kind of curved him or whatever. And this nigga married, got a kid or whatever. But, you know, he trying, you know, get his shit off or whatever. Whether it was a joke or not, he didn't appreciate that. So, knowing Flip and how petty he is, young, just like for the next, like, 3 weeks, young, he would always say some slick shit about her or whatever, right? And then, you know, she kind of, like, you know, alluded to it, like, I think the last podcast or whatever. And then this nigga went live and just had, like, a whole, like, 40 minutes of just, like, subbing her and shit. I'm like, this nigga is so petty, young.
Petty, yeah.
Damn, so, yeah, man, but it's a good alternative to Vlad, because at least he's not a fucking culture vulture.
Yeah.
He's an asshole, not a piece of shit.
Yeah. That's a good way of
putting it. That is a step up.
Good way of putting it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Damn, just as soon as, goddamn, just as soon as, this fucking rapper, Sada Baby caught a hit, young. The internet did what the internet does, man. They brought them old tweets, young, of him being homophobic. Yeah, he's from the fucking the hood in Detroit too, so you can imagine what the fuck he was saying.
Yeah.
Just got the I think I don't even know if the fucking remix to his shit with Nicki even dropped on like all platforms yet, but like no sooner than it was announced that he had a fucking remix with Nicki. Like, I think she recorded this shit right before, like, a day or two before she went to labor or whatever, man. Like, yeah, man. They trying to cancel this nigga now, man. I say, that's too bad. I'm going to have to Asian doll instead. Anyway, I think right after we recorded last week, Cardi popped them titties out. Ain't she back with old boy too? Offset?
I believe so. Yeah, they back together.
Yep. He saw them titties, young. Huh? Want to come back home? To get off that.
Wasn't my kind of titty. So.
Oh, you're like flapjacks, sure.
I like a little more contrast.
You a TV repair man now, yeah?
Just saying, you know. I like a darker nipple area.
Yeah, it's areola.
Yeah, nipple areola. Yeah, okay. What do you want to call it?
All right. Now, so y'all know T.I. got a new album called Libra, right?
Yes.
Tell me, in what world is it cool? Like, I guess when Drake and Meek were beefing, it's the first time that, you know, like, the story was widespread, like, you know, acknowledged that at some point, we don't know what year it was, whatever, we imagine that it was early in Drake's career before he had, like, you know, the big entourage and, you know, bodyguards and all that shit. They were at some fucking, like, movie theater in Atlanta, and one of T.I.'s boys was a hood nigga and shit, peed on Drake in the movie theater. Right? Have you heard the story, Kenny?
I have not heard the story.
Yeah, so, like, I think the song that Meek made called Wanna Know, he detailed it in that song, whatever. So, you know, it's fucking 5-6 years later and shit, young. So, on T.I.'s new album, I found today that this dude that he mentions in the song, he was actually in jail and he died last year, but as a reference for everybody to know who the hell he was talking about, he mentions that this is the dude who fucking peed on Drake in the movie theater, yeah? And I'm like, and then he goes on to say, yeah, but Drake's still my brother. I'm like, nigga, it's certain things you just don't talk about, yeah? Ever. You don't acknowledge it, yeah? And what were...
I'm still stuck at peeing on.
Yeah, the nigga was drunk. Like, the story is, the nigga was drunk in the theater or whatever, and, you know, he pulled his dick out and started peeing, and, like, Drake was right there. So he peed on Drake.
So it was unintentional pee?
Sounds like it, young. But he didn't apologize either, young. It was kind of like it became a joke, young.
Like, oh, my bad for peeing on you? My bad, cuz.
Yeah, yeah.
And you about to take that? I didn't mean to pee on you? Like, where did the pee land? Was it just on his shoe? Did any get on his hands?
Hey,
God forbid some splash in his mouth or on his face.
Hey,
or something.
Hey, come, like, on, come on, man.
I'm just trying to get some clarity on what we're talking about. I've never heard the story, you know? But if you tell me somebody got peed on, another person didn't go to the hospital or is dead, what the fuck is going on?
I can't give you any clarity. It's just a yellow area here.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. And I'm not trying to shower you with all these questions. I'm just saying, you know, like, in what world, like, I think we've talked about this before. Like, some of the most disrespectful shit you can do, somebody spit on them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, spit in their face. Like, the most, like, see, I don't even think of peeing as, like, really happening. Because to me, that's like a death sentence.
Dog.
So, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, did somebody intentionally pee on Drake and nothing happened to the other person? Yeah. Or was it unintentional? Like, I can't believe unintentional pee in a movie theater.
Yeah.
I don't think that this part of the story has been examined enough.
Yeah.
if Pop talking about his fact T.I. put it in the song, yeah, or is mentioning the shit at all.
Nah, think about it, Young. Meek deserved to lose that battle, Young. Like, how does that happen to you not have a Golden Graham punchline, Young?
Man, that's a doozy right there, boy.
Yeah, well, all that being said, this nigga rehashes the fucking story and shit 6 years later, Young.
For what?
To give, like, according to people, Young, to honor his man, but everybody had to have some background on who his man was. And it's, oh yeah, the nigga who peed on Drake. That nigga. Like, we couldn't just go with rest in peace, Tony, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Rich niggas, Young. Yeah. They different, Young. Cause any hood nigga knows that that's somewhere we don't go back to, Young. Ever. We don't speak of it again, Young.
Oh boy. Man.
So yeah. I'm just trying to find, like, you know, somebody that...
I just want to let anybody out there know, if you ever think your life, you think about peeing on me, nigga, you better have your head on the swivel for the rest of your life. I'm around the
corner. Yeah. Damn, man.
Some beef is everlasting. That is. Yeah. Yeah, you know. You not peeing on me and, like, going to be living comfortable, you know. Fuck that, you know.
You not peeing on me and living comfortable, you know. Nah,
you just out in public like you ain't got no worries. Nah, nigga. Mm-mm. I'm gonna jump out at any moment, yeah, you least expect it, you know.
And you gonna drain all resources, man?
Yeah. See, Drake, you deserve all this, dog. Cause you just could have killed a nigga back then. It wouldn't even be talking about it.
That's all it would have taken, Young.
And you'd have got all four and everything, Young.
Yeah, Young.
Any judge in America would understand. Oh, he took his dick out and started urinating. Boom. Yeah, Casey Smith. Let me get that fuck about it. Yeah. Y'all crazy.
Yep. Yeah. Oh man, so yeah, I just don't know why Tip would do that, you know, like, and apparently Drake has unfollowed him on Instagram, you know.
Oh yes. Yeah, I'm sure Drake thought he had NDAs and all kinds of shit associated with that, you know. Yeah. That will never not ever be mentioned ever again, you know.
Alright, so since he's pissed off, we can move on to something I found really interesting, Young. Like, how many times have you heard about fucking, like, over the past few years, especially about black ownership, and we gotta keep our assets and, you know, like, create generational wealth, and it's by, you know, holding on to shit, not selling off shit or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This week, L.A. Reid sold off his 160-something song catalog, meaning all future royalties, to Hypnogenesis, I think it's called. Hypnosis, something like that it's called. It's Hypnosis Song Fund is what it's called. And it's a company that, you know, has they buy catalogs and they find ways to, like, implement them into, like, you know, TV shows, movies, commercials, and what have you, whatever. And, yeah, L.A. Reid, you think somebody as influential as he's been over the past 25, 30 years, plus selling off his entire catalog to a company, young. And the only thing I can think about is tough times, young. Why else would he do that? Now, as a part of that, it's not as a part of it, but consequential to that, he also has gained a position on their board of trustees as well. So, sounds like a package deal to me. I don't know that for a fact, but, you know, nonetheless, he sold his whole catalog to a company when, you know, like, isn't he fucking Puffy's, like mentor and shit, young? And that's all this nigga be talking about is fucking generational wealth and fucking, like holding on to your assets and your legacy and shit. And I just thought it was odd that somebody old school, especially, like, you know, somebody fucking, like, Trippy Red sell that shit off, and that's something different. But this L.E. Reid, you know.
How much is he sellable?
Undisclosed amount. Yeah, man. Like, soul music. Like, not just hip-hop shit, you know. Soul music, R&B. Just weird, man. And the only thing I can think of is niggas spending habits and they fucking overhead and all this shit. You know, house payments and people not bringing their money right now. You know? Not sure what his spending habits are like, but I was just watching Gilly's podcast. This nigga Blueface said he was spending $50,000 a week. A nigga that had one record was spending $50,000 a week. Yeah, man. It's gonna be interesting to see how these youngins come out of this this pandemic and if they can get back to making money, because the cycle goes around so quickly for the artists today that it's almost like they have to, like, capitalize on that 1 year, and then they're already in bad deals, like 360 deals or something like that, to that effect or whatever, that they really just eat off of that 1 year that they go on tour and do these festivals and shit in the summer. But guess what? That ain't happening this year. So how is that going to affect, you know, these artists or whatever? Like, somebody like I felt bad for this year was Roddy Ricch. Because even though, like, I think he'll be fine for the most part, whatever, like, this was the year he's supposed to eat. Like, that album was on, like, in the top five for weeks on end. And then he figured, like, he was priming himself to, like, you know, just tour and make a whole bunch of money this summer. And he wasn't able to. But then you take that and then look at, like, some of these younger artists, like a Sada Baby or something like that, caught, like, you know, a mid-level hit or whatever, and, you know, he hasn't been able to go out and get the money that way. So, you know, these niggas is doing, like OnlyFans and shit, like, not no fucking sexual shit, but, like, you know, like, maybe giving, like snippets and shit and performances on, like, you know, the OnlyFans account to kind of, like, you know, streamline some of their income, because they're just missing out on a whole bunch of money. And, like, the summer's gone now. So what they can do, what these niggas can hope to do is, like, you know, position themselves for next summer, hopefully, whatever, man. But the cycle is so short, like, you know, how many niggas are going to even have the interest next summer?
Right.
Yeah, so. Alright, and lastly, a direct quote from Kanye West. I've always said SNL uses black people to hold other black people back. My heart goes out to Issa Rae. I'm praying for her and her family. I know that the 20 years of service I've paid to the entertainment field has furthered our ability to be more successful.
Mm-hmm.
That was before, after he's performed on SNL. Times now,
it's been a lot, you
know. Yeah, so
yeah,
so you've always said SNL uses black people to hold other black people back, but
mm-hmm.
you've been on that numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather that nigga just say that the skit wasn't funny, yeah.
It wasn't.
That's all you had to say, yeah.
Right.
Or don't say anything else because you're trying to run a presidential campaign. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm trying to tell you, man. Tory and Meg Young might save us all. Might save us all. Alright, that's all I got. Unless you guys have anything else entertainment wise, we can go on to our final segment.
Nope.
KB, you got any tanks?
No, I don't.
No C's tanks from Fight Night now?
Nah, not that I can remember.
Okay. Alright, Bah, you got anything?
Nah, no tanks.
Alright, nor do I. So, KB, let's get your list of tanks and feedback of the week.
Alright, first of all, I'd like to thank our new Patreon, Raheem. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Just get it in right now. If you'd like to donate to the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/hot5starter. So, thank you, Raheem. Appreciate it. And his email is from Rod.
What up, young?
He said, how's it going, fellas? Couple quick tanks for you. Hopefully, I didn't miss the show. This is actually from last week. My boy Justin was trying to think of Kerry Washington's show on Hulu and called it Pretty Little Fires. Yeah, it's little fires everywhere. I don't know where that pretty came from. Had a good laugh over that one. I was trying to think of Christopher Nolan's movie about war and called it Dundalk. Yeah, is that
Dundalk, yeah?
Dundalk? Yeah. He actually may have heard that somewhere because there is actually a Dundalk in Maryland.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. What? So, maybe.
Sound like they be known for a delicacy. You got any idea what the delicacy is, Kenny?
No, I don't. It's out in Baltimore County, so I would guess something crab related.
Hey, young. So one of my homegirls, she's bought a house in Baltimore, young. She said that low key Baltimore has better food than DC. What's your opinion on that, Kenny?
I think it depends on what you like. I would definitely say Baltimore has better old school seafood restaurants.
Yeah, for sure.
Like pretty much anywhere you can go get crabs, crab cakes, like stuff like that is just on the menu. You just expect it because of the neighborhood you in. Like they got better places like that. Baltimore has better Italian restaurants.
Absolutely.
I think Baltimore has better soul food places. I think what DC has more of now, I mean, what I'm seeing, like, in the city and, like, out in PG County, especially, is they have a lot of what you would call, I guess, like basically, like, brunch spots. So, pretty much, like, they'll serve, like, brunch pretty much from, like, you know, 10 o'clock until, like, maybe 3 o'clock. And then they'll transition to dinner, and it's, you know, $15, $20, $25 plates. You know, a lot of stuffed salmon, stuffed crab, like a lot of more experimental type of stuff. Some of the people I can think of, like Uncaged Chefs.
Kitchen Cray.
Kitchen Cray Cafe, absolutely. Intermittent Cafe out on Capitol Heights. Milk and Honey. Places like that. So I think DC has more spots like that. At least really out here. But if I really want, like, again, like traditional seafood or Italian, I think DC has better Mexican spots and better, like, Chinese food spots.
I think DC is way more diverse.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. But if I want to go to a... Maybe a steakhouse, but definitely old school seafood or Italian. I would definitely rather go somewhere in Baltimore. Okay. What you think? Am I off base there?
No, because that's the first thing I said. I said, you know, Little Italy is definitely a hidden gem for people who don't know. I was actually
no doubt about it,
unrelated or whatever. This is probably a month or so ago. I was listening to Cornette's podcast. He was like, anytime that they would go to the Baltimore Arena, everybody would want crab cakes, and he was like, he's wanting to go to fucking Little Italy.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So they definitely have good spots there, and like, I think it's just like a lot more concentrated. Once you get from that few like block or mile radius of downtown, then it's like, you know, unless you know exactly where you're going, you're not gonna like stumble upon anything like necessarily special other than soul food. You know what I mean? Like, you know, in D.C.
They're there, like you said, but you got to know where you're going.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I'm
right,
like, you know, right. In D.C., like, it's to the point now where you can go to Southeast and Southwest, and then you can find quality places to eat, and then it'll be anything from, you know, Afghani food to fucking Greek, Then you have all the, like, you know, the large five-star, you know, steakhouses, and then, you know, the small hole-in-the-wall Michelin rated places and stuff like that. So I think D.C. is better overall, but if you're looking just for, you know, seafood and Italian food, I give Baltimore an edge there.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Let's check the temperature.
All right. Where am I at here? He said he didn't know where that came from, Dundalk. He said maybe it's the name of a street, possibly. Like I said, you said Dundalk. I fucking Dundalk, bro. All right, not to be all done, Karen was talking about Black Lightning Season 3. Instead of her favorite character was played by Brain Whitey. She meant Wayne Brady. Said that name might work for one of these trap rappers. Brain Whitey. Brain Whitey.
Yeah, it's Karen. Yeah. That's what she does.
Yeah, she might be eating brownies behind your back, bro. Them brownies got a special ingredient in them. You start saying shit like Brain Whitey. That's high nigga shit right there. I know. I can recognize it a mile away. You start saying shit like Brain Whitey. There's THC in the cookies.
Karen on a brownie is a whole vibe, yeah.
Whole vibe, yeah. Karen on a brownie. What's going on with life?
Karen sitting at the head of the table with Whitlock and Trump across from each other. Nah, young.
Nah. That's just me. Nah. That's like a 10-minute cook session right there, you know? Nah, yeah. Nope. Let's just move. This is black. We fly out of here, y'all. She also called J.K. Rowling's prequel movies Fantastical Beasts and The Ones Who Like Them.
They're fantasticals, young. That's fantastical good.
Is that the real name? Hold up. I think it's The Ones Who Like Them, man. Hold on. He said that shit was gold. It's so basic it grows on you. But the real name is Fantastical Beasts and Where to Find Them. Not The Ones Who Like Them, man.
Oh, it is fantastical. I thought it was a fantastical, John. That was the same. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, The Ones Who Like Them. That's pretty good.
It is, but shit, man. Got me, huh?
Yeah. All right, man. Hope this brought you as many laughs as it did with me. Please be safe over here.
All right.
Appreciate it. That's it. That big week for emails and not mad.
Nah. Everybody's bracing, you know?
Yep.
All right, fellas, so let's get some shout-outs and get up out here at 9.
Yep. Hey, man, as always, thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. Much appreciated. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at KBADS is KBADDS, and at Hot Fire Starter. Any questions, comments, send them to hotfirestarter@gmail.com. And I already mentioned it, but I'll just mention it one more time. If you'd like to donate to the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/hotfirestarter. And see y'all next week.
All right, Bob.
Yep, as always, thanks for listening. Catch y'all next week.
All right. Appreciate everyone out there listening, supporting, spreading the word, donating, all that good stuff. How about you guys next week? It's FS Podcast, and we out.
I know you can feel the magic, baby. Turn motherfucking lights down. Mexico, what up?
What up, homie?
I mean, it's what you expected, ain't it? Let's go. Turn the music up in the headphones. Yeah, that's perfect. You gotta take your time, make a nigga wait on this motherfucker. Make a nigga mad and shit, like niggas usually just start rapping after 4 bars, nigga go in. Start dancing this motherfucker. Yeah. You just come out of nowhere.
I feel like a black public money I got coming in. Can't turn my back on the hood, I got love for them. Can't clean my act good, too much thugging them. Probably in the back in the hood, like fuck it then. Huddling over the oven, we was like brothers then. What? Though you was nothing other than the son of my mother's friend. We had covering, who would've thought the love would end? Like ice cold album, all good things. Never thought we'd sing the same song that all hood sang. Thought it was all wood grain, all good brain. We wouldn't bicker like the other fools talk good game. Never imagined all the disaster that one could bring, should blame the game. And I could, it's kill or be killed, how could I refrain? If I ever be in debt, and that's never a good thing. So the pressure for success can put a good strain on a friend you call best, and yes, it could bring out the worst in every person, even the good and sane. Though we rehearsed it, it just ain't the same. When you put the game at age 16, then you mix things like cause, jury, and miss thing. Jealousy, ego, and pride, and this springs. And all to a head like a coin. Cha-ching. The root of evil strikes again, this could sting. Now the team got beef between the post and the point. This puts the ring in jeopardy. And definitely, black Republican money I got coming in. Can't turn my back on the hood, I got love for them. Can't clean my act with good, too much tugging them. Nah. Probably in the back of the hood, I'm like,
I feel like a black militant taking over the government. Can't turn my back in the hood, too much love for them. Can't clean my act up for good, too much thugging them. Probably in the back in the hood, I'm like, fuck it then. I'm back in the hood, they like, hey, Nas. Blowing on perk, reflecting on they lives. Couple of fat cats, couple of AIs. Dreaming of fly shit instead of them gray skies. Gray fives, hey, dies, wishing our rain dies. Pitch sling pies and niggas, they sing why. Guess they ain't strong enough to handle their jail time. Weak minds keep trying, follow the street signs. I'm standing on the roof of my building. I'm feeling the whirlwind of beef I inhale it. Just like an acrobat, ready to hurl myself through the hoops of fire. Sipping 80 proof, bulletproof under my attire. Could it be the forces of darkness against hood angels of good that form street politics? Makes a sweet, honest kid turn illegal for commerce to get his feet out of them Converse. That's my word. Like